morning, everyone. Let me welcome members of Parliament and members of who are members of the Standing Committee of Honorable Friendships to this morning's meeting. I also wish to welcome our colleagues from the Department of Energy. You're most welcome to this meeting, and thank you for availing yourself for this engagement this morning. Let me also welcome our staff, the Secretary of Committee, and our researchers, and content advisor, and all the others. Let's go straight to apologies.
Good morning, all. Received one apology from Ms. Natasha Lowe of the EFF.
Let me also indicate that the chairperson, the Honorable Paul Mashatile, has tendered his apology. Since yesterday, he has not been well. But he did indicate to me that he might pop in. If he does come in, we will see if he's ready to chair the meeting. If he's not in a position to chair the meeting, we will continue as per this yesterday's and today's arrangement. Let's go into the presentation by the Department of Energy. Now, just before that, I do want to indicate that as you understand the mandate of the Standing Committee on Appropriations is firstly to recommend to Parliament the adoption of departmental budgets through the Appropriations Bill, which is before Parliament now and has got to be processed through. And secondly, once that has happened, it is appropriate for this committee to begin to engage with the departments and the purpose of establishing how state funds are being utilized by the departments in terms of their annual performance plans and in terms of their predetermined targets and objectives. The purpose of going through that exercise is not to find fault. The purpose is to look at challenges that departments might have and together look at how we resolve those challenges of spending state public funds and challenges of ensuring that the state funds are used to achieve the objectives for which they are budgeted. And primarily, that issue, the objective is to ensure that we all deliver services to our people in terms of the mandates according to each department by legislation. Where there are hiccups, we would like to work together with the departments to remove those hiccups and ensure that there is efficiency in spending and that there is value for money. We don't think that it is in the interest of this committee in the interest of Parliament, nor is it in the interest of the public as a whole to stand in public platforms, lambast the ministers, lambast departmental officials, and paint a negative picture about any of the state departments and about our own country. It certainly is not in our interest to do so, and Parliament has not mandated us to do that. Parliament has said to us, look at these issues which relate to the utilization of budgets of departments, look at issues relating to efficient spending, look at issues relating to service delivery, that it is achieved, that our people benefit from services that government provides, and where are challenges, deal with the challenges, and report back to Parliament. So, from our point of view, we shall not stand in public platforms and address public media and say, this department is doing this, doing that, and the next thing that is wrong, and so on and so on. We will, however, sit with you in a room like this and say, we don't think this is correct. Correct it so that the country can move forward, so that our people benefit from the services we provide. Certainly, we shall not play Switzerland committee. We will engage with you robustly, but as I say, it would never be in our interest to go to public platforms and public media to say things that are negative about any of the departments and about the state itself. So we are partners in this, and where there are challenges, let's find solutions together and report accordingly to Parliament. Having said that, ladies and gentlemen, honourable members, let's go into the briefing. We will allow the briefing to flow up to the end, and then members will raise questions at the end, and we engage in a discussion. Would that be in order, honourable members? Okay, thank you. Over to you.
Good morning, honourable acting chair, honourable members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. I'm also the acting DG of the Park Energy, and with me are the CFO in our office and also some line function managers of the Park Energy, Honorable Chair. I'm going to request the CFO to present the various slides here to the Honorable Committee, and thank you again for the opportunity, also for the welcome introductory which is appreciated. Thanks.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, DG, colleagues.
Sorry, just before that, can I just allow yourselves to introduce yourselves, each one of you present here? And the members will introduce themselves as they ask questions so that you can easily link the question to an individual member. Thank you.
Yvonne Chili, CFO.
Good morning, Commissioners and Members. My name is Justin Daniel, Chief Director of Finance and Supply Chain Management.
Good morning, I'm here from Fire Holt from Financial Planning and Management Accounting.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Thomas Mbofo. Currently the acting deputy secretary general for programs and projects in the department.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Jacob Mlele, the Chief Director, Industry City Standing for the DDG Policy and Planning.
Good morning, Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Sandy Lindanzi, acting DDG Corporate Services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Moses Nkize, Chief Director responsible for Hydrocarbons Policy in the Department of Energy.
Good morning, my name is Oshola from TMG.
Good morning, I'm Lisa Acha from National Treasury Public Finance Division.
I'm Caroline Nguyen from the Office of the SG.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Zonelli from the Office of the SG. Thank you very much. Now we can go ahead with the and may I especially welcome representatives from National Treasury. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I will present the financial performance as of 31st of November 2014 as requested. The presentation layout, I've taken the invitation of the committee and the presentation is laid up accordingly to the request that we see. We'll go through the performance of third quarter by economic classification, then by program. We'll give you an overview of the 2014-15 performance, the 2014-15 spending challenges experienced, remedial actions implemented, and principles of efficiency and effectiveness as requested. If I can move over to slide number 3. The department, in terms of the year-to-date budget, which is the 9-month end of 31st of December 2014, had a budget of $5.7 billion. We had spent $5.2 billion, leaving an unspent balance of $491 million. If we look at the economic classifications, which contributed to underspending, compensation of employees, $21.2 million, goods and services by $14 million, transfer payments was the biggest contributor of the underspending, which is $454 million as of December, and I'll explain the reasons as we go along. I move to slide number 4. It's an overview by program, and the programs in the Department of Energy is split into administration, covering the entire ministry, the DG's office, CFO, COO, internal audit, and corporate services. Energy policy and planning, petroleum and petroleum products regulation, electrification and energy program management, and lastly, nuclear energy and methane clean energy. Here again, it states that we have $5.7 billion at the 31st of December to spend. $5.2 billion was spent. $491 remains unspent. And the branches or the programs that have contributed to underspending is administration, which is all the support functions. Second is the electrification energy program management by $3.4 billion. Nuclear energy, $809 million. And clean energy underspent by $713 million. These are the branches that make up the biggest contribution towards the underspending of $491 million. But per branch, I will give you the reasons for their underspending. Slide 5. Cumulatively, at December 2014, the department had withdrawn from the National Revenue Fund a budget of $5.7 billion. From the above, a total of $5.2 billion was utilized, resulting in $491 being unspent. The transfers category accounted for 92% of this total underspending. The composition of the third quarter underspending, this is the details, transfers and subsidies, $454 million due to underspending in INEP, that's the Integrated National Energy Program. For the non-grid sub-program, $15.7 million. Energy efficiency and demand-side management. These are transfers to ESCOM for the solar water heating program, which $300 million underspent. Also, energy efficiency and demand-side management, transfers to the municipalities, is underspent by $27 million. INEP, transfers to the municipalities, is $65.7 million, as well as international membership fees of $12.1 million. Compensation of employees is down across all programs as well by $21.3 million attributable to vacancies in the department, and this amount also includes the not increased payments payable to senior members of staff. The economic classification of goods and services, that's slide number 6, $40 million below budget, and mainly due to delayed projects.
the level of understanding has decreased per quarter. If we look at quarter one, we have utilized 59.1% of the budget. Quarter two is increased. Spending increased as 95.3% of the quarter's budget has been utilized by that quarter end. Quarter three, 110% was utilized, including unspent funds from quarter two. So progressively, committee members, you can see our spending has increased quarter on quarter. Comparatively, the total expenditure at the end of quarter three for 2014-15 is $5.2 billion, which is $1.1 billion higher than the same period of 2013-14. This is mainly attributable to an increase in the value of transfers made to ESCOM for the Island Electrification Program and to NECA. Both these projects were allocated additional funding in 2014-15. NECA, which is one of our entities, also sees a one-off allocation for improvements to the Safari 1 reactor as well as the refurbishment of the Pelham Dam site. As a result, the full-year budget expended at the end of quarter three is 50.5%, which is higher than the 63.5% reported in the same period of 2013-14 financial year. Slide number 7. I will provide some details on the underspending per program. Energy policy and planning is underspent by $9.1 million and is below budget mainly due to the vacancies in the bunch. Projects that could not be finalized as planned, which were amongst others the 20-year liquid fuels roadmap, the data collection for energy planning, and some of the reasons for this is the design documents and the data gathering for energy planning was more time-consuming than had initially estimated. Cost containment measures, which were implemented on costs such as venues and facilities, travel and subsistence, advertising, contributed to the understanding throughout the department, and this is one of the projects that were effective as well. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation is underspent by $23.5 million, mainly due to the vacancies in the bunch, delayed commencement of major projects, one of them being the fuel specification testing project. However, Chair, at the next quarter, we have managed to rectify this. Electrification and energy programs and project management. It's underspent by $105.6 million. The underspending is due to the following. INAP Mingrid, underspent by $50.7 million. Mainly due to administrative delays, which led to the late start of the project. Under administrative delays, we cover the tender processes and administration of the project as well. INAP municipalities also underspent by $65.7 million. The direct impact of withholding funds from non-complying municipalities. So this year, if we have plans in terms of our transfers to municipalities, but if they must comply to those solutions that have been agreed to, that's how we'll be held by the department until such identified or they are gazetted accordingly. Slide number 8, nuclear energy. The program is underspent by $21.6 million, and the underspending is mainly due to vacancies in the branch, delayed payment of the annual IAEA international membership fee, the payment to this body was anticipated to be paid in December. However, it was delayed, but in January 2015, the situation has been rectified. Clean energy. It is underspent by $336 million, and it's mainly due to the energy efficiency and downside management transfer to ESCOM, which is about 32% in October 2015. The department cancelled the contract with ESCOM for the implementation of the solar water heating program. However, at quarter four, an amount of $1.1 billion scheduled to be transferred to ESCOM will not be disbursed as planned. Approval by Cabinet to shift the implementation of the solar water heating program back to the department is underway. Slide number 9. Clean energy, continue giving you some of the reasons for the understanding. Energy efficiency and demand side management, transfers to the municipalities, is underspent by 27 million, and it's mainly due to the withholding of conditional grant payments to some municipalities due to the non-compliance of the DORA Act and the conditions attached to these grant payments. Of the 26 municipalities participating in the 2014-15 Energy Efficiency Guideline Management Program, 5 municipalities failed to comply with the conditions, and I listed the municipalities there, of the 2014 Division of Revenue Act. As a result, an amount of 33.5 million was reallocated to other municipalities during the budget adjustment in October 2014. In addition, the Clean Energy Directorate has been conducting pre-energy audits in public buildings to determine the level of energy consumption. The pre-energy audit process was dependent on installation of smart meters through the African German Energy Program. However, due to delays in assessing these public buildings for the installation of smart meters, the pre-energy audit service provider was only appointed in February 2015. Slide number 10. Some of the spending challenges that was experienced in the department, and this is across all programs. Compensation of employees has been consistently underspent per program, as I've indicated. The department also appropriated an additional 20 million in the current financial year in order to capacitate its line function branch with specialized skills. Delays were experienced in recruiting additional human resources due to the lack of specialized skills available in the energy sector. The long recruitment processes, as well as structural change processes, which have to be followed. Then our long consultation processes with the various bodies along the line, some of them being organized labor and our health conference at all. The Department of Energy also has a young workforce, who are very young and very mobile at the same time. So transfers amongst the national departments are also a regular occurrence, which always leaves vacancy rates quite high and savings in that area. Goods and services, the budget underspending in 2014-15, as of 31 December 2014, it was mainly due to the late commencement of projects, administrative challenges, and some of the challenges that we experience administratively is at the technicality. Sometimes terms of reference are not compliant at the stage of evaluation. Additional conditions are in, and then processes have to be restarted. Also, at the time of signing contracts with the service providers, paperwork from the potential bidders are not always on par with the requirements. There were also orders that were placed late in the financial year, and as of the end of March, there were delays in the delivery, late receipt of invoices, which led to consequent delay in the processing of payments. Transfer payments. Energy, 90% of our budget is transfer payments to entities and implementing agents, but we are also dependent on those agents and entities for their assistance in terms of rollout, one of them being ESCOM, the solar water heating program, which contributes to the major portion of the unspent funds. The department has heavily engaged municipalities and ESCOM in this regard. Good service providers is also a challenge. We are dependent on the service providers that we appoint via our tender process, and we do experience some challenges with the service providers. Some of them being the import of components that are late, weather conditions, etc. They have contributed to this. Slide number 11. Chairperson, some of the remedial actions that were implemented. Spending progress is reported at the Finance Committee's meetings, which is held 6 times a year, and branches are advised of the slow spending areas in the financial performance report. In addition to the above, the spending against the procurement plan is also monitored and reported at Finance Committee meeting for action to be taken. Where spending against the procurement plan may not be realized for reasons beyond the control of the department, funding is redirected to other priority spending areas. And this is limited to the alignment rules set down the Treasury. In addition to the monthly bid education committee meetings, 6 ad hoc committee meetings were also held
to accommodate requests in order to accelerate spending. The appointment of service providers for the INAP non-grid program posed most challenges. There were delays, and this has been trained for the last previous years as well. The procurement process for the 2015 financial year has commenced in September 2014 in order for the commencement of the 2015-16 financial year. The appointment was just done a bit earlier, so we can avoid further delays in the program, and we've anticipated some of the issues that could arise against the earlier appointment of the service provider. Due to the challenges experienced on the solar water heating implementation that was handled by ESCOM, the department resolved to terminate the implementing agreement with ESCOM and embark on a more robust solar water implementation model. Slide number 12. Principles of efficiency and effectiveness. Further to National Treasury instruction notes on cost containment measures, the department ensured that the appropriate expenditure control measures were instituted to provide reasonable assurance that all expenditure is necessary, appropriate, and paid promptly. Of 27 cost containment measures provided for implementation, 22 are directly applicable to all national departments, and all 22 measures were immediately implemented by the department. Of 15 cost containment measures provided for consideration, 11 of these measures were practical and implementable, and these were immediately adopted for implementation by the department. The key areas for saving optimization was the use of consultants and travel and accommodation. Student measures were implemented. Local travel is also limited to economy class tickets for all officials at the level of VDG and below. Similarly, only group B vehicles are booked for these officials. Accommodation is limited to 1,300 per night for benefits. The use of consultants is restricted to specific technical services only, and requests are considered where such expertise and skills are not available in the department. These are normally for short-term assignments. And if I can give an example of this, is the fuel testing specifications, where specific skills are needed, special equipment and lab facilities are required. So these are some of the assignments that are undertaken by consultants. Consultants are remunerated at rates determined in the guidelines for the fees issued by the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. And it's also set out in the guide on hourly fee rates for consultants by the Department of Public Service and Administration. So where possible, we use the prescribed rates as set down by regulating bodies. The department was chosen as one of the best performing departments for today's payment, so the financial performance that you see in front of you, all payments have been made as of 31st of December 2014 for services that were rendered. Where possible, unconditional sponsorships are requested for certain departmental events, and these are on an event-by-event basis. In terms of our supply chain management processes, in terms of Section 217 of the Constitution, all goods and services are procured in a manner which is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective. Where possible, the department undertakes price negotiations with recommended bidders in order to achieve a reduction in the total bid price. And in most instances, bidders have been complying with our request. The department participates in the Supply Chain National Improvement Forum, facilitated by the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer at National Treasury, which is developing interventions to address weaknesses in procurement management and operation systems that undermine the efficiency and effectiveness of government procurement, and this is across all national departments. Cost-saving interventions in the IDP environment includes the use of shared printers to reduce printing costs, voice over internet protocol, telecommunication systems to reduce telephone costs, which is a fairly high cost driver in department. Chairperson, on slide number 15, although not requested by the committee, I have put the last piece of puzzle together, which is quarter four, which ended on 31st of March 2015. It's just to highlight that we have 4-year budget of 7.4 billion, we spent 6.2 billion, the final variance is 1.2 billion, and I want to explain the 1.2 billion. The 2014-15 adjusted budget of the department was a total of 7.4 billion. As of 31st of March 2015, the department had utilized 83.6% of its adjusted budget as follows. We've spent the compensation of employees for the full 12 months, 96.4%. Within services, we spent 65.7%. Transfer payments, 83%. Payment for capital assets, 72.4%. In total, we've spent 83.6%. A budget balance of 1.2 billion remained at the end of the financial year, representing 16.3% of the total adjusted budget, a major portion being on transfer payments economic classification. Slide number 17. The department spending in 2014-15 has been negatively impacted by the developments in the implementation of the solar water heating program. The solar water heating program budget alone accounted for 22% of the budget's department's total budget of 7.4 million. The figures below reflect the department's spending trend. After adjusting to exclude the solar water heating program, the chairperson, what I was trying to explain, was from the year 2011-2012 back to 2014-15, I want to indicate the spending. If I isolate solar water heating program as an anomaly, just to illustration purposes only, if I do take that out, we would finish the year at 31st of March 2015 at 98.6%. We would have spent that in terms of our entire budget. Finally, quarter four, rollover application. The department will be making a submission to National Treasury motivating for a portion of the budget remaining to be rolled over into 2015-16 to enable the completion of some of our projects which were delayed. The rollover submission will include the transfer payments, 1.1 billion, 1.1 billion to implement the solar water heating program, approval of the new implementation model in-house has been received from Treasury. However, the cabinet memo is erroneous at the moment. 35.5 million to pay service providers for services rendered under the INAC non-grid project will also be motivated for rollover, as some of these projects have commenced but just delayed. Goods and services, 12.1 million, is also eligible to be motivated as a rollover, and this amount would be submitted to National Treasury by its due date. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Someone else taking us further?
Honourable Chair, thanks. We also included the non-financial performance report to this, and just as a summary, I just want to mention that the slides, can I just have the slides here? Thanks. I want to just look at the specific slides, slide 22, two aspects around. The one is that, as been indicated, the department consists of different programs, and these are programs as mentioned, are linked here, and we'll then deal with each of the various programs as being indicated in the attached slides. That's the first aspect. The second aspect, Chair, I just want to apologize for the fact that on the slide, and the next slide there, unfortunately, after we forwarded the slides, we recognized that there were some mistakes on the slide. And it's to do with the percentage of according to what's achieved, partially achieved, and non-achieved. So, luckily I can indicate it's better than what's indicated on the submitted slides, but we'll also, if it's coming your approval, we'll then resubmit those. You will see when the respective programs are reporting on their various activities, how these figures are being calculated. So just to indicate on what it's due there, for achieved is actually 8, that's been achieved and it brings up slightly 25%, partially achieved moves up to 36%, and non-achieved drops to 3-6%. In terms of the real numbers of the assessment. With that being said, I'm going to ask that we move to the first program, financial management services. Chair, I just want to ask your guidance on how do you want us to present this. As it has been attached, it covers all the various targets and then the progress on those targets. We can do the full, for each program, the full target presentation, or if you want us just to focus on those ones that's partially achieved or non-achieved, we can also do that. But you need your guidance in terms of timing, but we can do whatever option is being requested by yourself, Chair.
I don't need to have a little bit of time. Maybe we should just go straight to the detail. If finally we run short of time, the practice has always been if there are unanswered questions remaining, we would like to have those in writing, including the correct slide 22. Let me just say it up front that we'd like to have it. But we will just assess as time goes on whether we can cover all questions that members would like to raise. If we don't, we are not able to do so because of time, we'll then revert to written submissions as well.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Honorable Chair. Then for Program 1, Financial Management Services, the CFO will just take us through that specific program. Thanks. And with your approval, can we just naturally let it flow through the various life function managers that were moved in from Program 1 until Program 6 without speaking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. There has been one target for the Financial Management Services branch, which is the 100% approval and payment of invoices within 30 days. The department has achieved this target, and there were no challenges posed in the area. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I may cover corporate services branch in terms of the targets, there's a vacancy rate of 10% that was set for the quarter, and we achieved 10.1 in terms of the quarter, Chairperson. Moving on, in terms of recruiting people with disabilities, we had a target of 108 and we're able to achieve that target. What we have not been able to achieve is the recruitment of women at a very senior management level. Our target there was 42.5%. We only achieved 38%. And the reason, Chairperson, is being that some senior managers who are women resigned, others retired. But we are in the process of recruiting those. We were also able to achieve our target in terms of conducting ISM visas, which is a cabinet decision that ministers should go to the people and get their views in terms of their concerns. We had a target of 5 ISM visas and we were able to achieve that target. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. In relation to governance and compliance, which is on this slide, we didn't have a target for the MPAT, which stands for the Management Performance Assessment Tool, as being regulated and monitored by the GPME, simply because this process only kicks in during specific or certain quarters. As you will see, this would have been done during the third quarter, which the quota starts from September to December. And we are happy to report that we would have completed the questionnaire as required by GPME, not in the second quota, but in the third quota. And that target was fully achieved by way of the department assessing itself in terms of those best practices, norms and standards. And we have since submitted what was expected from the DOE, to the DPMB, and we are waiting for the moderation by the DPMB as submitted by the DOE during the third quarter. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of policy and planning, out of the four annual targets set under program, two actually had specific quarterly targets, and I will talk to those specifically. In terms of the integrated energy plan, target which was to assess the economic impact of the IEP was partially achieved. All the things are information that needed to be provided for National Treasury to assist in conducting the macroeconomic impact assessment were provided at this point in time. The next target, which was basically the norms and standard for municipal asset management, the target was to submit the norms and standards for to the energy regulator for approval. This was not achieved, and the reason for this is that this is dependent on the what we call the Adam report, which is basically the revised assessment of the backlog in municipal infrastructure. The report has since been completed and is going through the internal departmental approval processes or adoption. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. With regards to Program 4, which is energy programs and projects, basically, the task of the unit is to ensure the delivery of infrastructure, mainly in the area of electrification, as well as IDCs, and the monitoring of the IPP program. So we had the targets, of which most of the targets were achieved, and some were partially achieved. I will start with the one project which was not achieved. The third quarter, which was the progress within the IEC in the Eastern Cape region. The reason for that was that the contractor which was supposed to begin work basically decided to pull out because of land claims and other issues that took part in the particular region. Hence, we got to get a new contractor to basically progress the forward development. With regards to the IPP program, basically there we were on target. We have managed to basically achieve on the target set for the monitoring and implementation of the IPP program. Here to date we've got roughly 1,700 megawatts of energy being put into the grid from the Renewable Independent Power Producer program. With regards to the electrification program, where basically the program is split between the ESCOM program as well as the municipality program, which mainly focuses on electrification. Basically, the program is ongoing, obviously, because of the misalignment of financial years, where basically the municipal financial year ends in June, and obviously ours ends in March. But obviously, as I think the CFO has alluded to, the challenge that we've had with the municipalities that do not comply to the DORA framework, where we basically then have to readjust the budgets. But I'm happy to see that, as you can see, the numbers in the program, where basically we are on target with regards to achievement of those electrification connections. Okay. With regards to where we also provide assistance with regards to the bulk infrastructure, where basically we provide a backbone, which is normally substations and MB lines to support the rollout of the electrification program. We are experiencing some challenges where you find that because of issues where sometimes the procurement processes within the municipality takes some time to kick in, therefore we end up experiencing delays. And also the other issue is that some of the long lead time items which the contractors use to participate in the program, some of them are coming over this as a result that impacts on our timely delivery.
But I'm here to say that we will be catching up as most of the items have been delivered and the work is ongoing. So basically there we are partially achieving, but I think as we go on we will be manage to close those projects as successfully. Thanks, Chair.
From our side, in, as in terms of petroleum and petroleum products regulation, we had the two site combined inspection that was partially achieved with 1,463 site inspections done as compared to 2,000 that we had to undertake. The shortfall, in fact, was due to availability of officials as well as the infrastructure to conduct that service. And then in terms of enforcement, we did manage to have 100% enforcement notices achieved in cases where the non-compliance to the stipulation of the Petroleum Products Act. And then we also managed to partially achieve in terms of the rest. I think it just go to the next slide. It talks to that. Yeah, in terms of implementing the regulatory asset accounting, the accounting system, which deals with the pricing of the Trump products, there was a partial achievement there. We do have the technical committee meetings which had to be suspended, but we will also further engage to make sure that there is the issue that is a standoff between the retailers and wholesalers is indeed addressed. And then so as a partial achievement in terms of the ESF as the asset based study. The contract has been signed and the inspection result report has been issued. And then we draft the LTZ system. The LTZ system is a system that is used to determine the prices as one moves from one magistrate district zone to another, making products that are inlet more expensive than the one that costs that, because we're using an import parity system. The contract and the inspection report are in place there. Although we did not manage to have the final report on the LTZ review. With regards to biofuels, the implementation and monitoring of biofuels pricing framework is not yet achieved because what has happened, the pricing framework is still being concluded by the policy branch, which was presented to Cabinet Committee on the 3rd of December and was returned for further review to deal with the risks to the fiscus as well as tightening rules and pertaining to food security concerns raised there. Other ones have not been achieved is also the review of the basic fuel price. Submission is still being sought to publish document for comments and it's still undergoing internal review process. Thank you.
In terms of the NUTA program, Program 5, the DDG from NUTA unfortunately couldn't be here in the island support staff, so I'll just deal with that section. In terms of the NUTA program, there are a couple of, and I just want to give background, that South Africa is not only doing its own nuclear program, also because of the involvement in nuclear, you also have a lot of international obligations. So you see a long list of activities that are targets. You see, I can see with some of them. The first one in terms of the NERIDI, that's an institution that has been established in terms of overseeing the waste of nuclear material. And that entity has been established in this
quarter, it has been formal, it's been established since there is a board, but a full complement of the operational side of this issue haven't been completed, and the department's busy with that, hence why it's not achieved at that point for this specific quarter. What is also important is that we, as a department, need to develop plans on various implementation of nuclear material, and this action plan that is being updated that has been achieved. The next one is linked to that. If we move to the next page in terms of the submission, in terms of the cabinet on the nuclear fuel cycle strategy, that have not been finalized. It's a process that involves various local international stakeholders, and completion of that is with the end of its finalization during that period in time that have been completed. Then in terms of the fact that the department also has an oversight role in terms of all nuclear material that need to be transported, moved, if you move nuclear material from one point to another point, doesn't matter if it's within the country or outside the borders of the country, is certain protocols, and the partner has an oversight function around that, and fix up and given the numbers of applications that have been received with respect to approve those transportation of the nuclear material. If you move to the next page, in terms of the safeguard compliance, it's legally compliance and the audits of that. That have been achieved. This one a compliance board that's done on a quarterly basis that has been done and been approved. The next one is for this quarter. If we then look at the bottom one in terms of the submission to cabinet, in terms of the amendment of the regulatory bill, the amendments to that. It hasn't been finalized, and there have been feedback obtained from the stakeholder advisor in terms of these amendments, but it hasn't been completed at that point in time. If we then can ensure this is not achieved, if we can then move to the next slide in terms of it's the same topic, then move to the bottom in terms of the fact that this also for the establishment of this Russian Waste Management Institute, to fund that institute, a funding bill is required, and that was the submission that was being referred to in the second activity or target for this page. The last one is in terms of public awareness campaigns for in terms of taking nuclear to the community, and this target has been achieved. If we then, and that basically brings us to the end, and the next last one will be the program 6 on clean energy.
Thanks again, Honorable Chair. The last program is program 6, which is clean energy. This program had 4 annual targets, and 2 of the annual targets had specific battery targets for quarter 3, and the other 2 did not have specific targets. Out of the ones that had specific targets, one was partially achieved and one was not achieved. And the first one being the implementation of various EGDSM interventions. This target was partially achieved. There are basically 25 municipalities that participate in the program, and 20 municipalities at that point had submitted their business plans, with 4 having not submitted and were still having to spend their all over budget, and they are dependent on the allocation for these non-performing municipalities was relocated through the gazetting process to other performing municipalities. In terms of the next two targets, these two annual targets, we did not have specific quarterly targets, but we report here that the first one being development of energy baseline for additional municipalities, this target was achieved, and the next one being the promulgation of the National Energy Efficiency Strategy. This target, annual target, was partially achieved at this point in time. The DOE and the Polygon was requested to engage with other departments such as DIA on the process of having the final strategy, their views incorporated into the final strategy before being sent there for cabinet consideration. The other annual target here, Chairperson, has to do with the National Solar Water Heater Program. The number is supposed to be 5,000, not 4 million, as indicated there. The target was to have the installation commenced at the time, and as the CFO earlier indicated, the program had changes, and the department at the point in time decided to terminate the arrangement, installation arrangement with ESCOM, to try and bring the program into the department and also to align it with obviously requirements of local content. Basically, the target was not achieved in that regard. And the new implementation model has been developed in the department and is going through the approval process. The cabinet memo in total has been submitted through the ministry. Thank you, sir.
Honourable Chair, as a final summary to this section, just some highlights and some achievements, and then also some challenges that the department have been exposed. Honourable Chair and honourable members, just some background, and I think in hindsight, our apologies of not giving a summary of the various involvements of the various line function sessions in the department. It has been mentioned by the CFO that 93%+ of the budget is of the department of energy is actually allocated for transfers to other entities. So we pretty much dependent on a lot of our deliverables on other entities. So we fulfill a project management and implementation, also oversight function of some of these activities. They are, except for the fact that we developing policies, we all have this function of implementation, but also regulation. There are also regulatory functions within the department's mandate. That being said, if we just quickly then highlight some of the achievements, some of the implementation activities that the department's involved with are, among others, the rollout of electrification. So all the new connections that is being implemented either by 182 municipalities and ESCOM is in project managed and overseen by the department. Then in addition, it's also infrastructure work that we are seeing on the electricity side, specifically within municipalities. That's not only linked to new connections, but also for upgrades of these networks. As you are aware, that a large majority of our challenges in supply of electricity is not so much lying on the generation side. Although we today in load shedding 2 phase, the 95% of all non-supply electricity to the consumers is not due to electricity generation, but due to the last kilometer of electricity brought to the various domestic, commercial, industrial parts of users. And that is a concern, and that is why a lot of effort is put into that. Another aspect that we're also involved in, as we mentioned, as the biggest portion of our budget, is the Solar Water Geyser program. Honourable Chair, that program has not delivered to the extent that we as a department can be proud of, but I think it's also in important context. That being said, what the ministers the other day said, you know, officials are very good in having excuses, not solutions. Now, my apologies for excuses, but also as a solution attached to it. One of the challenges in the Solar Water Geyser program is that the majority that you notice on the roofs of households are important. And it was a shame for two reasons that we as a government are channeling funds out of the country where South Africa has the capacity to manufacture it. And it's why the apartment printing industry has also put in an instruction that there need to be a 70% local content of these units be established before it can be utilized in this government process of program. That program took a bit longer than we expected. To establish a new industry is not something that is happening overnight. I can announce that that industry has been established and very proud of the quality that came out of that. It's of international quality and local content. There's quite a number of companies that is above that level. That held us back. It held us back for close to 2 years to get that up and going. While we said it's rather lose new installations by some standard equipment that's been imported and you can't trace anything back, something breaks down. Rather put that program in neutral while you establish an industry. That is now been established. In addition to that, what we also are involved in is to train local unemployed youth, women groups in the various municipalities which where these implementations can take place. Not only to install but also to maintain, also run businesses around so that what it is and eventually become plumbers in the broader sense. So that's a program that is happening, but it's one that you can't convert into numbers of eases on the roofs. Secondly, it was also that it was felt in Eskom's broader business focus, especially the current focus of Eskom to be focused on the core business, that this program needs to move from Eskom to the department. That application is also being processed right now. That also been caused stallment of the running of this. I thought, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I just need to give that background because it doesn't come out of the presentation, but it is important and it's special that we can also share that information. I think the last one, or there's two more that I want in terms of implementation I want to share with Honourable Members is about what we call integrated energy centers. We also have a program where if you go to rural areas, your general supply of energy sources is very limited. It's from petroleum products, even to buy your electricity vouchers. And we establish a number of these now throughout the country in rural areas, what's called IECs, this reference plane. So I just want to highlight what that is. It's normally a filling station, and around that you create various other opportunities for energy that has been promoted and then used energy hub into rural areas. We'll see that just some background, but I just want some of the coming back to some of the achievements. On the electrification side, if you look at the numbers for that quarter, it boils down to over 40,000 connections. Obviously, that is quite a big number. If you convert that into practical time, it means each 40 seconds of a working day, a new connection is being made somewhere in the country. That means your project management and oversight need to be quite in place. We still not where we're supposed to be. There's still a big backlog. We must also mention that this program is operating, although it's been managed by the department with the assistance of the municipalities in Eskom. There is a big effort that you need to go in to make sure you reach your targets. And it's one of the programs that in the last 4 years, 3 years, have overperformed what the target was set of all system delivery programs in the country. And I also want to then make the opportunity to thank to the discus for the allocation of funds to this program, but also a bit sad for the cutback on this program. And I would like to also bring to the attention of the committee that the cutback that's been in this cycle will boil down to at least 45,000 connections not going to take place.
which can be done. The history is ready and our plans are according to that. So I thought I just wanted to mention that. I think the next one on the renewable energy independent power producers, and apologies also on here, my colleague is freely using abbreviations of terminology that's common within the energy environment. Apologies to that. We have to make sure that we explain what is meant by all of this. But I'm sure members, this program is the program where the IPP program is where additional electricity is being supplied to the grid to renewable green methods. It's normally wind and solar parks. And in this period of the third quarter, around about 500 megawatts have been added additionally to the grid. Now we constantly reminded of the shortage of electricity. At least is a portion that has been added. Also the fourth quarter some more has been added of clean energy. Moving away from this is the quarter right now where we sit as of Monday, there were 1,700 megawatts of clean energy supplied into the grid. Thanks as one of the top 10 countries in terms of development around this. I thought I'd just want to share this as also to the committee. I can move quickly then just on this jump shot to the other highlights in this period. And that's around the fuel sampling and our retail business and petrol industry. As can be noticed on the board is that 330 samples have been tested. That's something that has not been done in the previous financial cycle. It's only this financial cycle that started, and this third quarter we really pick up well. It's to make sure that the customer in South Africa is receiving correct quality petroleum products that is being listed on the tanks when you park next to the machines at the garages, to make sure that what is being put into your vehicle, if it's diesel, it's the 50 ppm or below, or 500 for commercial vehicles, if it's 93 and not being mixed with other substance. That's what we took, and that's something that we as a department is bringing to the customers in the country. And lastly, also to make sure that 634 such that was expected on randomly, to make sure that not only the quality, but also the prices are correct, being charged on non-box, and not their own prices. And it's interesting to see how many of these we have to remind it that it is outside the law, and then they can lose their licenses. So I thought I'd just share that. But yeah, this is quite a number of challenges that the department is facing. As we mentioned, with the fact that the majority of funds is transferred, so a lot of our time and effort is spent in project management oversight of entities. And at a given time, just if you look at electrification programs, there's close to 900 projects that run parallel at the same time. And the majority of them with municipalities, we have to put in a huge effort to make sure that they get a lovely from that specific stream. I think what's also important is that a lot of our focus is second to challenge that I want to highlight. As a department, is actually focused on processes, not so much on deliverables. We're moving back to make sure that it's deliverables that we're talking about, hardcore deliverables. And I'll say the second one that I just wanted to mention is that if you have to be a young department, you also have young skilled staff. The department, close to 70% of the staff complementing the department is below 35 years of age. That means that skills levels are not at what you would want to be. And secondly, we're struggling with getting skilled, technical skilled people to fulfill and to come and to work within these environments. And that's also one of the reasons why we have problems in some of our filling of correct skilled staff. And that being said, the management list is being put on pressure to be more strategic and oversight, mentoring of programs and as well as staff, so that that's a divided focus from management. Okay, that members, that is some of the highlights, some of the backgrounds to the department, and the Department of Energy is welcome some observations and comments around what has been presented. Thank you very much, Abuja.
Thank you very much. Members, can I allow you to pose your questions, make comments, and so on? And then we will just take a very short tea break so that our colleagues can come back and respond. That will also allow them time to arrange their responses as well. Not to suggest that you are not allowed to take refreshments, but alongside that, just arrange yourselves in a manner that allows you to respond to questions. Members, Honorable Malopa, followed by Honorable Imam Sheikh Imam, followed by the Honorable Dr. Fik. Anyone else? Honorable Yus Nyalungo, Honorable Mandana, and Honorable Shope Sitone, Honorable McLuchlin, and then we will also allow our support staff to raise questions if they so wish, but after the members have done so. All right, let's kick off.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is C.Q. Mashoka, the member of this board. I wish to really appreciate the presentation from the Department of Energy and appreciate that when we request them to come and clarify something for us, they do come. Chairperson, I must start by saying that the great concern also is around the issue of the expenditure on the energy policy and planning. Because when there is a lack of planning, lack of adequate planning results to the lack of or under expenditure. And the lack of under expenditure results to the lack of service delivery, which sometimes leads to the failure of the electrification of the household as well as the load shedding that is affecting our country. But I wish to start on slide number 7. There's an indication of the other expenditure and the reason not being given. One needs to understand which municipalities were affected by withholding of funds, because we are told that there were funds that were withheld, and how much was withheld per municipality under the infrastructural electrification program. If we can get the municipality to say how much. And what measures the department has taken to prevent it in future, since this has a negative implication in service delivery. And then also on slide number 9, can the department be specific which aspect of the division of revenue did the affected municipality fail to comply? Because it's just 2014 division of revenue bill, but the aspect of that bill. And which conditions they failed to comply with. And also there is an indication of the delays in accessing the public buildings. Is this delay as a result of the failure to access public buildings? And if it is so, because the indication is that there was a delay in accessing, we want to know what was the reason, because these are public buildings, therefore they have access, you know, it's easy access to go there. But it was in the result of that that delayed the progress, or it was because of the tender process that was not completed, because we have indicated that Green Energy Audit Service Provider was only appointed in February 2015. But in your delays, you talk to other things, you know, to say you never access a public building. But at the same time, you can see that the tender process, you only appointed the service provider in February 2015. If we can have a clarity there, why you are not accessing this public building, and also is it the cause of delay, or the cause of delay because of the tender process that was not completed. Number 11, presentation number 11, you indicated on the solar water heating project. You said that the delay also, there was a cancellation that the department cancelled ESCOM to continue with that project. But you said that now you cancel them and you embark on a more robust solar water heating implementation model. But who is now running that robust solar water heating implementation model? If now you have cancelled with ESCOM, you are not clear. You just say you cancel and you engage them. And what does it mean? That robust solar water heating implementation model, that is robust. And also, you maybe if you can unpack how long was that project not implemented by ESCOM to lead to the cancellation then? Because those cancellations, those delays, it leads to the unexpenditure. We are tracking this, the expenditure trend of the department. Like the lack of your planning, the delay of things and so on, it talks to say that we'll be under expenditure. Maybe if you can indicate how long was ESCOM given that project to deal with and fail, and then you come with it, and the sales provider now to deal with that robust. And then on presentation number 12, you have indicated that this cost containment measures, of the 15 cost containment measures provided for consideration, 11 measures which were practical and implemented, and these were immediately adopted for implementation. If you are saying 11 implemented, practical and implementable, the other four, you must indicate what are the challenges for them to be implementable, because you said the others are not practical for you to implement. Maybe if you can share with us what are the problems, and what savings the department have, how much has the department saved under this cost containment measure? Because you said you have implemented 11, maybe you can indicate to us to say that this was the budget, but these are the cost savings that you have come up with under this cost containment measures. And also you indicated that the use of consultants also are the part of the cost containment measures that you have engaged. And there's been a call by the president that you have to reduce the usage of consultants. And in your presentation, you have indicated that you have done so, and you only use them on the technical part of it. But we want to know how much also you have saved in the regards of the usage of consultants. Before, how much you were using the budget for consultants. And now that you have engaged on the cost containment measures, how much you have saved, so that we can understand. And also the usage of consultant, is it bearing fruit in regard to the skill transfer to the staff in the department? If yes, you must indicate, and also those technical skills that you are using now, the consultant. Because if you indicate to us, no, we use consultant in a particular technical skill, we want to, because we are doing an oversight in future, to see whether those skills have been transferred to the staff in this department. If you can just unpack that for us. And also, what is the plan for the department for those skills that they don't? plan in place to say that how are you going to have it in future, or it will be a continuous usage of the consultant. The other one, we want to congratulate the department for being chosen as one of the best performing departments for 30 days payment. I think congratulations for 2013-2014, because this also is one keen as the job creation and also the empowerment of the contractors that have started to work. Slide number 16, it is just a great concern here. In 2013-2014, the payment for capital assets were 99.6, and now it's 83.6. So you are not improving, you are going back on slide number 16. And this is really a great concern for us to say that while we congratulated you that you are going forward 99% in the same time, you are going back for your expenditure, which is 2014-2015. And also, I want to check that 2014-2015. I want to make this thing check with the treasurer, the national treasurer, when we're dealing with the division of revenue. We were told, as an MP, I am employed in Umlaas in a part. My position is officers. In 2012, I requested to meet with the Department of Energy to give us the progress on the electrification program in the municipality. So they came, we planned, they gave us the project and the budget that were going to take place in 2013-2014. They gave us the project, we went to the community and workshop the community with the project, and when we called them last year to give us the progress, because people, there was a toy, people saying that we came and report false information to them, no projects are continuing. We went there with the mayor, only to find and recall the Department of Energy and come to come and share with us what is happening. Because those projects were reported to the community after the meeting with them. We were told that the budget for 2013-2014 in the whole country is having a problem, in a sense that the budget for 2012-2013 was not enough for the project. Their estimation was not correct. And then they used all the budget for 2013-2014 for 2013-2014 budget. And as a result, in the financial year, we were told there are no projects that are going to be in place. But here the report is showing that we have achieved so much. Maybe I'm not intending for you to respond now. Maybe to do it in writing to say what projects for 2013-2014 were implemented in Umlaas municipality, because we made a priority the time that we were meeting with your officials, there were doing coming to see the mayor in the municipality. But here it's business as usual. There is no indication that you say that we had a challenge of a budget for 2012-2013, which led to us using all those funds to 2013-2014 to finalize the debt, you know, the deficit that was there in 2012-2013. For the Umlaas municipality, maybe one will need that response in writing to know what projects for 2012-2013 at Umlaas, the budget, the money spent, as well as 2013-2014, so that we know exactly whether the funds were there. Because we pleaded to say that please can the funds be directed. I see that there was additional or other review on the 2013-2014 that was given to the department. But I'm not sure whether it was utilized in our municipalities where we are deployed. And the issue of planning really is a great concern to us, because it leads to us not having the service delivered that we have reported to the communities. Here we said on slide 26, there is a challenge on your target. There are resignation or retirement, but you are not sure. I want to check the reasons for them to resign. Does the department have the retainment strategy for their staff, because the issue of the capacity is critical. So the retainment strategy is a critical policy that I think the department must have to prevent that, because also it talks to the capacity. Lastly, maybe I will come back because I have noted I was reading fast here. On the slide number 32, there is an indication on the petroleum and petroleum products regulation process. I see there they said no, the target was 95, and then they said no sampling and testing conducted because of class contract with service provider. Contract target one is included in financial energy. I want to check my understanding, although I'm not a technocrat that will understand this. When you appoint a contractor, there is a specification. I was told that these projects are called projects because it has got a start and an end date. So you commence and you end. If you appoint those contracts, you say that because the contract lasts. Didn't you know that at the time you were appointing them? When was that a contract going to last? Because you said it's the reason that they will never achieve your target because the contract lasts. How do you point a contract without knowing when it's going to last? You know, if you can just take on this one, I did not understand. Maybe now, Chair, let me call the neighbor will come back because a lot of things that one is looking at. Thank you.
Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and colleagues. First of all, let me take the opportunity of thanking you for your presentation here this morning. Let me start off, first of all, by talking about slide number 3. It would appear that goods and services transfer of payments, which make up 70.95% of your budget allocation. For me, it would appear that there's a bit of a challenge there if you compare that together with your rating. From what I have found that, get to that page, and starting at 12, is it? Yeah. We find that you've only achieved 7 targets out of the 33. Okay? But, and goods and services, which is your domain basically, because a major part of the rest is transfers and payments. You've only expended 48.79%, and I'd like to know the relevance between the two, because it appears that a greater portion of the challenges appear to be under your section rather than on the transfer of payments. So that for me is if you could please unwrap that for me. Time and time again, it appears that we have a serious challenge in terms of vacancies and skilled staff. And we have a very, very high unemployment rate in South Africa. I think we've got a good educational system if we take advantage of it. What is your department doing to ensure that the different skills that we need, together with the Department of Basic Education and Higher Education, what's your department doing to ensure that that shortage of skills that we have, we are able to now take on from school level, that is from basic education level, maybe grade 10, 11, and 12, into the curriculum, to start addressing on the long term those skills that we really need. Now, you know, a lot of money is being given by government, the NSS, and things, and bursaries, and all that kind of. Should it then not be given to those specific areas, maybe, that we have a massive shortage? And if you can just elaborate on what generally your department is going to do about it. The challenge of the underspending, I know you say here that you have many meetings a year, you have ad hoc meetings. If you could also elaborate on your obviously reporting and those that are underspending, you're doing it 12 times a year, another 6 times a year. Is there consequences? Is something being done, or is it just meeting after meeting after meeting and nothing happens for years and it takes like getting away? So I'd like you to also tell us what and if any of these entities or areas that have been consequences for non-compliance and for non-performance, and what measures you're putting in place to ensure that it's not repeated year in and year out. That's the other one that I have. Let me just get it in. With regards to the challenges that you've had, and if you look at this where you're talking about the issue of the planning, I don't know where in here you comment in terms of you saying that you were not able to achieve. Is it not as a result of not properly planning well in advance, because you ought to have seen these things coming, rather than when it faces you and then you realize that now you're not able to compete it in this particular financial year, in which basically now one is able to identify as problem areas. The other issue is the importing of components that you also say causes delay. Again, I want to reiterate this point. I believe we have manpower, I believe we have skills, I believe we have resources. Why the dependence of importing? Again, I want to know. What is it that we are doing about, and which departments are you working on, whether it's trade, industry, or whether to identify these challenges so that we can create these industries, and as a result, we also reduce the unemployment rate again. The municipalities, I think my colleague has covered most of the other, but the municipalities that have not performed and that you're having challenges, what is the way forward? How are you going to prevent it in the future? What is the action we are taking and you have already taken to prevent these municipalities from not performing? I know you've been rated as one of the best. I might commend you for it, but like I said, I'm if you could just elaborate on the issue of the performance in terms of the rating, in terms of the goods and services. I'm worried about when you take money from one area and directing it to another area. The particular area that you're taking from, is that not now going to suffer in terms of service delivery because you are now re-diverted? Well, you know, I can understand you can't continue to give to an area that's not spending. But I'm worried about whether there is a problem. I must commend you that I think you have decided to start some of your programs, procurement processes well in advance so that you don't have a repetition. It's a very good sign, and for that I must commend you. I think that would be over well for us, I think, in the future. Of this cost containment measures that we're talking about, and I think you've implemented some of them, if you could just elaborate, what is the success rate in terms of what you have done? Are people now measuring up to it? Are they compliant? Are they you know, so if you can just respond to that. In terms of consultants, it comes back to the same issue, the dependence on consultants, which seems to be a great concern in all the different areas. And the question that one needs to ask, why is it that people choose not to want to work directly for us, but rather go be consultants? Is it to do with money? Then maybe we need to start re-looking at what we pay our people, what we pay our experts. Because in any event, you paying consultants is going to cost you a lot more money. There's no doubt about that. Maybe we need to start looking at that, because the dependence on consultants, even though the president has said must be reduced, it looks like we, in various areas, seem to be dependent a hell of a lot on consultants. And knowing that, consultants choose to be consultants, independent consultants, rather than being employed by our departments. I have said to you in terms of the skills, one of the things I see, wherever possible, the department undertakes price negotiate with recommended budgets in order to achieve a reduction in the total of the price. It's a very good thing. But my concern is, when do we negotiate with this budget? Because budgeting is a process that we tender for, and once the budgeting is completed, the tender process is completed, you would identify who is the cheapest, who is number one, two, three. When is it to be actually negotiated with these people? Because surely you can't negotiate long before them because you don't know what they're going to tender. And if you negotiate, then is it a free, fair, and transparent process to ensure that nobody is really being marginalized? I must again commend you on your cost-cutting measures. I think it is good. The thing is, I want to know, in terms of your spending trend that you're talking about from 2011 right up to 2014, 2015, I want you to elaborate it. I mean, is there certain areas that you're consistently having a problem every year? And then maybe those are the ones we need to re-target and see who are the people, the workers, that's whatever it is. We've got that going. I also want to know, when there are delays, for whatever reason, what is the cost impact in terms of escalation things? If you could actually tell me, I've covered the skills issue. We have covered the issue. Yes, with regard to these targets that you got, you said this is the third quarter targets. What is the overall targets for the entire year or the entire three quarters thus far? Because you've got 7 out of the 33, so I'd like to know what and what was achieved in the other quarters in terms of the targets that you have set there, and overall, what is the total target and that which has been achieved? You also say a lot of our ladies, I'm concerned about that, our lady senior managers and things are resigning. Maybe you can comment a little bit on that, because I've been told we must bring them in. And why they are leaving us, what are we doing to try and stop? I know that at the municipal level we found challenges, and it was all based on money. People, private industry was attracting people because they were offering more money. But I would like to know, and again, in your department view, what is it you think we can do together to be able to keep our people with us? You understand? So that, you know, we don't lose them to industry. I remember at Itagwini, we actually paid Eskom to buy one of the staff contracts, buy those contracts to bring the person back because we need the skills. And for me, that is why I believe that maybe we need to do what we should be doing with nurses and teachers, going there from school level, getting them involved, getting them bursaries, getting them probably being committed to our business, to our company, to our country for a period of years. Maybe that's one of the ways. I don't know. I think a lot of people will probably not be happy with what I'm saying. Given the shortage of skills, massive shortage of skills, and the fact that we haven't, I don't think enough has been done to attract them in particular fields. I don't know whether it's a good idea I should mention this, but especially with our neighboring countries, our satellite countries and things, is there not a possibility that we could also import some skill, which I know I don't want to encourage importing at all, but for the short term, you know, to try and alleviate some of our challenges. In terms of the notices that you're giving for non-compliance and things, again, I want to know what has happened. You have been giving them notices again and again. How long has this been going on? Who are the culprits? What has been done? And what is, if not, what is going to be there, then about it in the future. I want to ask, I don't know if this, two things. I know, you said something about 140,000, is it? Yes. Per quarter, I think. You could just elaborate on how we come to that. What did you say? Why every 4 seconds or something like that? If you could just explain to that one. And finally, I would ask, I don't know if you fair to ask this particular department this question, what percentage of households in South Africa do we still have to cover in terms of electricity? And in terms of the solar water heaters, how long more do you think it will take us to try get to increase the numbers to a level that will be acceptable? Thank you, sir.
Hello, Bruce.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for a comprehensive report. Lots of information. Downside of that is that obviously a lot of questions come from it. So, just also for the record, I noticed that three of the presenters of the delegation here are acting, including the DG. Is there, you know, can we just get an explanation of that, why it is the case? Is that also one of the positions that should have been filled? And then also there is one of the DGs for nuclear energy that's also not here. Just a little concerning that somebody, unless they have a good enough reason, finds another a place more important to go to than addressing Parliament. Regarding the when the CFO did the underspending explanation, now it was mentioned that compensation of employees was attributable to, or the underspending was attributable to the compensation of employees and the number of vacancies and new positions that are still to be filled. Now, what concerns me is that that is a current position, but I also know or have seen that in the report that that lag is expected to be filled or resolved soon, that lag of positions, vacancies. Now my question then is, what will that impact have for the last quarter, if any? Okay, because that's up until now. That's the one. And also, I've read that as much as there's underspending as a result of compensation to employees, that your compensation of employees is still the main cost drivers in the progress. So as much as there's underspending, it's still a substantial part of the expenditure. Can I now refer to some of the slides and just ask for, in some instances, clarification and just claims? If we go to slide number 9, some of it has been covered, so I'll try not to duplicate. My colleague in front of me spoke about the door and wanted to know what sections were not compliant and what was it. Can I add to that, if the permission is, what happens now after that? Because that is now non-compliant, so what happens after that? Is it just, okay, well, management must comply next year, we give them a snap and a knuckles, then they can rectify the next year. So that's, I would like to add to that. On slide number 10, we talk about specialized skills, and again, that has been dealt with, but the concern to me was that we do have a large complement of employees in the department. Now, are we that skilled? Does it mean now we want staff working and those staff, the staff that's in the department is not capable of performing their function? So in order to compensate that, we need to employ consultants and then we need to look for specialized skills. And then added to Honorable Sheikh Imam is that maybe now why then do the consultants or do we want to work as consultants and not for the department? Slide number 22. The last bullet point on that slide, it mentioned this way of the self-assessments 7. Self-assessments. Now, just a question for how you arrived at 7 and how you arrived at which 7. You know, because there were, I think, if I look at that three slide, it talks about that in 3, but how you arrived at choosing 7 and which 7 you chose to assess. Slide number 31. Talks about the partially achievement of the chlorine and petroleum products. Now, the comments and the reasons given for me sound ludicrous. You know, citing 1,463 site inspections conducted, the shortfall is due to study leave, unworthy vehicles, unworthy vehicles. Yep, that's, and then NC inspector posts vacant. Now, surely, I mean, that's your core business. You need a vehicle. So, for that, those reasons to be given, it's surely that should rectify before it reaches that situation. Slide number 33. Now, there are a lot of these where there's been a partially achievement and a partial delay due to certain instances. Perhaps one could, and I'm suggesting, but obviously, it's just what I would have probably done, is where something is either achieved or partially achieved, perhaps a date to be given as when the anticipation of the completion or anticipated completion date is, you know, then it will give us a better idea of what we're looking at. So that might be something to look at. I'm not trying to dictate to you what to do, just what I would probably look at. Slide number 35. Okay, that's okay the same. You know, maybe another column there because it's not achieved, it's partially achieved, and there's reasons given, but you know, if you had a date, then it would help. Slide number 37. Yeah, Now this one I would like to just get a minister to us. We agree that targets, and especially electrification of houses, and I see you've got a target of 265,000 and only 50% have been met, etc. But that's not where I would like to end. My comment would be, it's good and well to have a target of electrifying houses, but you have limitations. And the limitations are that you only have a certain capacity in your source. So we can want to provide 55 million houses with electricity, but if you don't have the source, then it's impossible. And that is the reason why we have to sit in the dark for more hours than none. So surely that should be factored into the plan. That's the one. And then with regards to your targets, as I mentioned, 50% or more or less 50% has been achieved. So even yet, the plan is being for you fall short of your plan. So those are the two issues I'd like to comment on. That is that source, and really it's not fun anymore. It used to be. When I was a youngster, being in the dark was fun. Slide number 41. Okay, yeah, that's also the dates. See, I've got comments on those. 541 and 42 would also be, if the date is given as to when the anticipated or the anticipated date. And then slide number 48, which is the last. Just that bullet point there, the acting DG mentioned about the retail side compliance where prices were checked. I want to just know, included in that inspection of the price, is there an inspection or a calibration certificate as well? Because it's good enough within the price, but we can always put a price that doesn't correspond with a quantity. That's the one issue. And then lastly, my last question is, these major achievements, I think this is one major achievement people of South Africa would like to also know about, is that how far is Medupi? Thank you.
Honorable Nyalungu.
Thank you, sir. And thanks for the voting. As my colleagues have said, many of my questions. Thank you. I'm only sure. The first one, I just want to check what measures is put in place to make sure that no funds are withheld from municipalities in the future. Because the withholding of funds from municipalities eventually affects service delivery to the people. And then, slide number 40, you have talked about the Kemisi-Lehani, which is delayed and will not be completed before the end of financial year 2014-2015. I just want to check how is the progress now? How far is this project as we speak now? And then also the issue of supply chain management. I just want to check how often are you training the staff
that is going to be withheld so that we can explain to the communities what is really happening? And can we get grants from the department? What assistance were given to these municipalities so that they can comply? And what is the future plan of assisting them? The next issue, Chairperson, is with regards to the project that was cancelled in the Eastern Cape, precisely because of the land dispute. Somebody indicated to us that there was a problem. Can you just clarify that issue to us so that we are on the same path? In your report, you indicated that you were supposed to have 20 imbizos, of which the president indicated that we need to be conducted. But according to your report, you only conducted 5 imbizos, but you are saying we have achieved, and you mentioned some other dinners that were taking place. Can we get clarity on those issues so that we are all on the same path and we agree with you that we have achieved this? The issue of Tembisilehani, my colleague has already raised it. If we can get clarity, when is this thing going to be finished now, because there were some delays? And yeah, let me end this, because most of the issues my colleagues have raised, I don't want to repeat one of the same thing.
Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Alan McLaughlin. I'm a member of this committee. Before I get to the specifics, I was a little concerned by the CFO in her presentation telling us no less than 10 times that the underspending was due to delays. That's an indication of some serious constraints within your department, ma'am. And I think that should be addressed with all haste, excuse the sort of pun that I'm using. But delays are really not, how can I put it, they're unacceptable, of course, but I understand there's not always due to your area or an area in your department, but if those are the things that are causing you to be underspending, those are the things that should be investigated and addressed as fast as possible, because we can't, in this day and age, with the sort of constraints that we're up against and the problems we face, delays just really don't address the issue. It was a concern that I noted during through the presentation. If I can refer you to slide 5. Just a question I have there. As regards the composition of the quarter 3 underspending, transfers and subsidies, one of these you referred to was the INEP municipalities, as well as international membership fees. Can you just give us something, what are we paying international membership fees for, and what benefit do we get from that? Slide 9. Again here, we say, I know this is what's been addressed already by some of my colleagues, so I don't want to belabor the point on municipalities and the effect that that has. If I just go back one slide to slide 8. And if looking at slide 8 and also 15 and 17 at the same time, I have a bit of difficulty trying to compute the numbers. So we're told on slide 8, under clean energy, 336.2 million rand is 32.02% of the budget. And very next two lines below is told that 300 million rand is 52%. Then on page 15, we have of the total energy, the percentage variance is 16.39%. But we're also told on page 17 that the SWH program budget alone accounts for 22% of the department's total budget of 7.44 billion. I couldn't get these numbers to add up and make sense to me, because if the solar water heating problem, and you've got 22% of your budget is for that, but then your total underspend is only 16.39%, that would indicate that some of that 22% had been spent on solar water heating. So my question then would be, at what stage was Eskom's contract terminated? Was it within this financial year? And at what stage do you propose implementing the new plan you have for getting the solar water heating underway again? Because you say that you're waiting for things to happen there, you've taken this over, it's about to restart, etc. And is that portion of your budget then going to be refenced and held in abeyance for that purpose going forward? You could maybe give me an answer on that one, because it obviously impacts on the poor performance of clean energy within this financial cycle where we're at 42% of budget spend, which is so somewhat alarming. Then if I can take you to slide 12, I think it was. So I just wanted some clarity in these. Apologies. On the second and the third bullet points, we're talking about cost containment measures. The first say of the 27 cost containment measures provided for implementation, 22 are directly applicable to national departments, and all 22 measures were immediately implemented by the department. Then you say of the 15 cost containment measures provided for consideration, 11 measures were immediately adopted for implementation. Does this say that in total we've got 33 measures in place, or is it 22 or is it 11? I'm not quite sure. It just didn't add up to me because I don't know how many have 33 out of 27. Maybe it's just the wording as a logistic but I can't follow what's written there and makes sense, but it wasn't adding up to me, so if you just explain that to me, please. Page 15. Oh, I've dealt with page 15. Apologies. Slide 18. I would just like an explanation. You say under transfer payments, obviously I understand what transfer payments are about when you pay money out to other entities and so on, but then you say 35.5 million to pay service providers for services rendered under the INEP non-grid project. Can you give us any indication of what those services are? And presumably this is what hasn't yet been paid out, so are you waiting for invoices for this? Is it money that's allocated for costs that have already been incurred, or they just not happened yet? If you just give us a little more detail on that. And then the next one is in goods and services, and you're retaining 12.16 million for all outstanding payments. Now, surely that will overlap with the previous one, because this is closed service provides, and now there's other outstanding payments as well. I'm just concerned that there may be some overlap there. On the next slide, that's page 19, under your review of the organizational structure, you say that there are 847 approved posts. Can we just be told how many vacancies there are of those approved posts? The next line you say that there are 204 unfunded posts in core functions. Now, that says to me that these were not budgeted for, these 204 posts. How are we going to fix this? If we have posts that obviously need filling, otherwise they wouldn't be here, how are we going to fund it? Because at this stage they're unfunded. Are they going to be funded in the budget going forward? And can I just have some explanation there? A little more detail on that would be helpful, please. Slide number 22. Just on the second bullet point there, I know the Acting Director General, Dr. Barnard, gave us an explanation that the numbers were incorrect. But if I understood you correctly, sir, on your corrected figures, it still left us with 3% unaccounted for. Maybe you could just help me out there. Maybe the numbers I wrote down were incorrect. I got 25%, 36% to 36%, which adds up to 97%, so we were 3% shy. Perhaps you could assist me there. Slide number 24. This was one that was skipped over during the presentation. Inter-branch comparison of moderated progress. Now, I don't have the colour version of this, I've got a black and white printout, but it seems to me that the biggest single element on that graph is the not achieved quarterly targets. That's concerning to me. I know it's in the third quarter, and I know the fourth quarter has now happened, but can you just address us as to whether these targets have been attained or were attained in the fourth quarter? Has that number radically altered in the meantime? If not, perhaps you could tell us what you're doing to correct it, and if so, well, can you tell us how far we've got with fix that situation. Then my next slide will be slide 31, please. I just noted, and my colleagues already mentioned about the unroadworthy vehicles, but under that same heading, our annual target was 2,000 retail site compliance inspections, and yet quarterly target was 1,500 retail site compliance inspections. Now, why would we have three quarters of our target in one quarter? Just wondered why that was, putting a hang of a lot on the staff, trying to expect them to do three quarters of their year's work in 3 months. And I just wondered what had happened there to cause that kind of problem. Then on the last item on that same slide about the enforcement notices, the question I've written here is, what then? You've issued the enforcement notices, what's the next step? Are you taking further steps? And one of the biggest problems we have in this country is non-compliance, whether it's with laws, rules, regulations, whatever. People don't stop themselves streets, they don't pay their taxes, they duck and dive on every possible issue because there's no consequence generally. I would like to know something about what are the consequences of non-compliance for these enforcement notices. Slide 33. I would just like to know the previous reports on the RAS implementation. What prospects do we have? Is this thing going to get resolved or not? I see that a reply affidavit has been filed. What are our prospects of success here? Are we wasting money with a court action? Is this going to carry on letting away and getting nowhere? Or is there some real prospects of success here? Slides 36 and 37, if you can look the two of them together. I was just a little bit confused about the two targets that I mentioned here. On 36, we say there's already 13, 14 targets of 200,000 electrifications, and then the next slide, 2014, 15, 13, 65,000. I was just wondering why we have two different targets for two different sort of years in the same plan. Couldn't we just scrap one of the other? I just didn't see the relevance of it. Maybe you could address me on that. Page 42, slide number 42, I just wanted to know on that submission to Cabinet for approval of the implementation plan, is this now complete? Because it says that the development of the strategy will be completed in the final quarter 14-15. Is it now complete, was my question. And then lastly, on slide 48, my colleagues already mentioned the aspect of providing electrification, but given there's no power to power, it's not much use. But my question was to the Acting Director General, on the fuel sampling, my understanding says that SARS does this exercise as well, from a different point of view, perhaps, and with a different view in mind, but they also do this fuel sampling on a regular basis in order to ensure that the great excise amounts and taxation is being paid on. Is there any overlap between your department and SARS on this, or do you combine your efforts and utilize the same staff members, because it might be beneficial to you if you could just make use of SARS as a test result rather than having to do the same work they do, and you're each getting different sort of results out of the same tests? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Shopespola.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the department for his presentation. On page 48, you mentioned the solar energy technology roadmap has been completed. Is it possible for this committee to be given that roadmap, just a copy of the roadmap, so that we can take it from there? The next thing that I worry, deeply worried about, is this withdrawal of funds from municipalities, which my colleagues have alluded to. I'm just thinking aloud that we have got a Chapter 3 of the Constitution that actually encourages spheres of government to work together. I just want to know from the department if you did try to assist the municipalities and there was a resistance, and I would like to get a list of those municipal managers or mayors by name who actually refuse the help. Because it's not only the chapter 3 of the constitution. The intersection in the municipal finance management, we're talking about e-budgeting. That actually says upper spheres need to assist the local sphere. It's law. It's not a question of mercy or you intervene. That is what the law says. A law that has been made by this Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. Did you try to assist? Was there resistance? And who resisted? Because I'm saying this, this is very serious. If funds are withdrawn, the poorest of the poor suffer. The taxpayers suffer in that community, in that municipality. And we are not going to just stand by year in, year out, watching a non-delivery or service delivery protest simply because the service was not rendered, because you were compelled to withdraw your funds for safekeeping because people were not cooperating. Because I suspect all of us, you might have tried, or if you didn't try to help, you must confess it today. Thank you.
Yes. Our support staff, is there anyone who wants to make a comment or raise a question? Mr. Lomo?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Just a small question, Chair. I know that some of the issues might not be part of the presentation, but they are part and parcel of the interest to this committee as they pertain to expenditure. Chair, when we look at the report by the Auditor General, which is the latest information that we got from the AG 2013-2014, he raised a concern around the irregular expenditure of about 1.6 million rand. And his concern was that this has increased significantly. And in line with the section 39, section 38, C, Roman figure 2 of the Public Finance Management Act, which says the accounting officer must put in place measures to prevent irregular expenditure. To date, what has been done to try and address this irregular expenditure to make sure that it does not occur in the next financial cycle? Because the committee was approved by it. But if you don't have measures in place that have actually that are going to address the anomalies and the challenges that are outlined in terms of the monitoring expenditure, as well as the report in general, it may not be part of the quarterly expenditure report that issue, but in the agency's report, and it's part and parcel of the expenditure management of the department. So the committee is interested in what measures that you put in place to prevent that from happening in the near future. And maybe you can tell us to confident and say, and tell the committee as how much has been recovered from the irregular expenditure, if you do have that information, and also how much that has been condoned. We know that some of it has been condoned, but you tell the committee. Thank you very much, Chair.
No. I see a member like itching to have a second bite already. Did I see Honorable Sheikh Imam and Honorable Madova? Honorable Madova, you wanted to? You're covered. Okay. Honorable Sheikh Imam?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Very quickly, I don't know if you have had a look at the Auditor General's reports and findings. Well, I hope you do that soon. But in terms of the Auditor General report, it seems that we have a serious crisis on hand in terms of your supply chain management processes. but my colleague has also alluded to it. And one of the recommendations being that you need to take urgent actions against officials and things. Could you also elaborate and tell us what you plan to do about that? And I think there's also been one further challenge in that I think you did not. The business plan for the utilization of the INEP conditional grants was not approved prior to the start of the financial year as required in the division of revenue book. If you could just elaborate on that. But what's the emphasis on what you intend doing for those officials based on what the Auditor General is actually saying? They talk about the court keeping is a challenge and SEM policy, senior management problems, consequent management for poor performance and progress should be implemented by all of as part of the performance measure. So, if you could just on that, thank you.
Just on my light, the clean energy item on your budget is a cause for concern. Quite clearly, there is not much movement in terms of spending there, as indicated by your own report. One would like to understand what measures is the department putting in place to step up its act on that item. Remember, this is one item that has been identified as well for job creation, but more importantly, for achieving our objective of reducing the gas emissions. And if we're lagging behind on that, that presents more than just one challenge of not by spending that. It's a lot more than that. So you need to really have a deep look into that. And where you have challenges, delays and so on, legislative challenges that might hamper progress on insofar as issue of spending enforcement, do let Parliament aware of that, particularly the Portfolio Committee on Energy, which must deal with that subject, because as you would know, the job of Parliament is to legislate and facilitate the implementation of policies. So it's critical that we deal with that. We might not be the relevant committee to bring to attention the legislative hiccups, but there is a committee relevant for a purpose. We would be interested in seeing how you solve that. What appears to be underspending is a lot more, is not so much that as is the delayed project. So, again, we would be interested to know, how do you plan to speed up the implementation, the start and the commission of these projects, so that those delays don't happen in future? Because also you must indicate to us to what extent are the delays in implementing the projects eating into your budget, and which might at the moment appear to be underspending, but at later stage might actually reflect overspending because of increased prices and other things related to that. Also linked to that, your 2014-15 budget is 5.7 billion rand, and already you are indicating challenges in terms of, spending that budget to the end of the financial year. Now, the new appropriations bill that is before Parliament is proposing 7.4 billion rand. You already have a challenge in spending 5.7 billion rand for 2014-15. By your own admission, you are asking rollovers. Give us confidence that you be able to spend the 7.4 billion rand, including the rolled over funds. If we don't have that, the kind of assurance, this committee might have a problem going to Parliament and say, Parliament approved the 7.4 billion rand. But we are aware that you are not spending accordingly. But what is even of more concern is that the delayed spending of the budget and the delayed completion of projects suggests one thing, and that is that delivery of services for our people is getting delayed as well, to an extent. And what is more concerning, given that energy is the source of all economic activity, that also raises concern. Given the economic growth challenge that we are sitting with, the 2% economic growth was not to translate that into 5% economic growth by 2019. And if the state of affairs is as it looks now, it raises the question whether we are going to achieve that. So give us that kind of confidence so that we can speak to our people and say that the Department of Energy is going to ensure that economic growth does take place, our people get employed, and we achieve as well inclusive global growth. And that leads me to asking the question. But before that, let me commend you for the 30-day payment, as other members have said. But one would like to understand how many of the black-owned SMEs are doing business with the Department of Energy, and to how much of your budget does that translate to? And I raise this question, again, linked to the issue of ensuring that we advance inclusive growth. Each department, state department, has got to advance inclusive growth so that we expand the economic cake to those who are disadvantaged in the past. And we shall not accept any excuses. So far as that is concerned. Thank you very much. Now, I said that we will take a short break so that all of us here take some refreshments, including our visitors. You know, in African tradition, as you know, you don't starve your visitors. You don't starve your guests. So you're invited to that. But also, that gives you space to arrange your responses. Thank you very much. 5 minutes break.
Don't speak. No. Go on. Yeah.
That's not you. So yesterday I went to buy a shirt. So I didn't see it.
It was lame.
As I
said, yeah, because it was an unintended thing. It was an unintended thing.
That's what my boss said.
You were forced by the circumstances beyond your control. And therefore, you want to give it to your shirt.
So,
just hide it.
So, I mean, it is when I bought it.
And
so then this morning when I wear it, I had to go and spend it.
That's why you didn't buy it. Very nice.
I bought a blue one. When it was, so I didn't put well, this morning I wear it. So I went back. When I was there only to find out the office.
Yeah, the open it, man. Right. Thank you.
something that you want to say to yourself? You made it with me.
Enough of the committee, but something I should get, but something like this all works with this source, but there's a lot of things that different at the department that everyone speaks to about approval application must be but the chief of the ability to send because of the allocation only wants 1 billion to but I would not check to that. I'm like, if all the issues are from the front, but individually I'd like to be able to put the member. They say they do a physical committee, but I just spoke to, you can speak to people who work there, they think, you know, the governance and the organization, right? Everything's good. They say they do a physical committee, but they actually, they already know what the people are going to say. That's a statement, we've got the problems of tension, so, and the total of the services, all that. We should support the industries with the economics available and
Africa is
terms of the way electricity is being distributed in the country, it's divided between ESCOM municipalities. There's 182 municipalities that supply electricity, and also ESCOM. That means that the distribution part is not generating that, but it's the glass, the wires you see in the cities and towns. That's either ESCOM or municipality. It doesn't matter where you're in the country, somewhere, it's either ESCOM or municipality that supplies. Now, the allocation is being done on an annual basis to either ESCOM or municipalities. So some areas within municipality, you will find that it might be a municipal area of supply, and some areas is an ESCOM area of supply. It will be the same municipality. So when allocations are made, it's done on a long-term plan that municipalities and the ESCOM needs to supply plus. But that being said, with all respect, in the majority of cases of municipalities, that plan is hardly being adhered to. Except if it's totally new development, they need to adhere to. I'll give you like 2-3 practical scenarios what's happening on a day-to-day basis. The allocation is made, and that's the first scenario I want to share with you. It's made, the municipality is applying to the department for a new development. 500 households are going to be built in financial year XY. Made that allocation for that financial year. All proofs, now before we did, there need to be certain proofs being given in terms of approvals, the funds need to be transferred, all of that. So we are sure that project will take off and everything is being done. So there's no whatsoever challenge in terms of that program not to start. Then when we arrive there 3 months later, after funds have been allocated, there's no dust whatsoever except naturally. Inquire and notice one or other problem that has erupted. And then 9 months down the track in that financial year, 120 million land allocation is still standing still. There's no houses in the ground and there's no legislation coming down. So that money, they need to be moved. You can't leave it here because there's hundreds of thousands of households somewhere else that can be get benefit of that. So that's the one. The second scenario I want to give is where, and that's the majority of cases, allocation is made for existing households. So that they, in some cases, there's enough capacity to just hook up the wires and extend the wires to the households. Allocation is made, allocation has been allocated on a business plan of how it's going to be rolled out. Then 3 months later, the municipality, and it's not even an advert we put out for the design of those networks. With all these, at month, some of us have seen this industry, even at month 5-6, and you haven't have a designing consulting agency, engineering that can design for you. Already appointed. There's not one wire going to be stringed that financial year. So it's why when you arrive there from experience, and there's like a lot of things in life, you can sometimes you can double up and increase your delivery, but if there's any time for certain flags, if you didn't reach those cut-off times, you're not going to finish those projects. And that's when we need to, on behalf of the country, because there's still over 2 million households, 2.2 million households with some electricity in this country. And they need to receive access to it. So then that money needs to be relocated from that non-delivered municipality to another. The third scenario I want to give is remember we transfer the money and push it. So transfer off from the terms of how the business plan is. The third one we want to share with you is that money's been transferred and then there's some mismanagement of the fund taking place. And then we have to get it to the system. And we withdraw the money. So I'll share with the members that's the reason why we withdraw money. It's also a measure for us to make sure that there's delivery. And these 182 municipalities, they also come here, they're angels in terms of financial management. Let's be honest, we deal with them. And if you're going to see the advocacy, what we have to do with our municipalities, the highest delivery of any service delivery program is electricity. We
because we have that key that we're keeping. But it's not an easy one. It's administratively very, very difficult. I wish it could be much easier on a wheelchair and on our members, that we can apply that. Because then we can get more area. You see how many funds we have to roll over because of non-delivery. Then there's also a question that's been asked, why didn't there's a comment being made about a contracting? Oh, Chair, I don't know. If you come with a bag full of money, put it down in front of an entity, say, all you have to do is your business plan to be allocated funds. Not my business plan, your business plan. Yes, business plan. We allocate on top of that business plan funds. All you have to do, just sign a contract that you will implement according to your plan. I have proved that it sometimes 9 months for taking that funds. And then they push the required end of months. We have implemented some measures around that. The measure is physically, you go to the municipality, you can sit in front of the municipal manager's office. In some cases, I have to 3 times have to re-approve accreditation of my staff, but I sit it until they get it signed. That's the way we do it to get signed. I think last year, you know, I think we only missed six. 6 were too late of 182. Which I think wasn't too bad. This year, I haven't seen the figure, but that's literally, sorry to be emotional and practical, but on all members, that's exactly the practical implementation that we do. We physically go there, we have regional offices, we have, throughout the country, footprints. SDC officials, that's moving through the regions, regional base, not based in head office, excluding the head office, staff that just doing this for us. Checking projects, being there in the place of where it needs to be delivered. The other issue that we're struggling with is that the projects, when they started, and then we just need to get progress. It's a 100 unit project, and then it lit on 30, and they just need to sign off on those 30. They don't sign off. And then we can't register that project, that's completed. They don't sign off. We can see physically, it's there, the electricity is flow, but they don't sign off, so we can't have our side, and that's also not really. But it's all, at least what I can say is that it's we get more and more staff to the ground. And we also, now, for the first time, we've appointing contractors to assist us get more feet on the ground for two reasons. It's to assist disparities with their designs. A lot of them, we even went to the extent that we draft templates for them what to advertise. So they don't need to do that. The biggest problem is shortage of skills. It's a critical shortage of skills. I think I'm going to take note of last week's report going out on Limpopo. In the whole Limpopo province, 2 qualified electrical engineers and disparities. 2. We don't have qualified officials in the departments, in the municipalities. And then we need to step in and assist. And that's what we try. Not that us work very close with MISA. MISA, that's what we work very close. This one, to assist, because they have the same mandate that's overflowing on our side. So, Chair, in terms of that, we're going to make available the allocation of municipalities, as well as the what has been withdrawn and be reallocated on municipalities. We have that in standard list. We have, we didn't have it with us, we can I can pull it off from a network on a website, but we have such a list available, so that's not a problem. On the Umhazi one specifically, my colleague will deal with that specifically. And any other specific measures, municipalities or projects, please feel free to contact us. As I said, we have a project management team that deals with each of them individually, so we know where to go, either national or the regional offices. There are a number of questions as I said that's been for some of my colleagues. I think I just want to deal with one or two general ones. The one that I want to specifically make reference to is the issue about the explanation, the question for explanation of acting number of acting staff. And senior staff in the pot. The DG's position is vacant, and the process being followed. To fill the senior position is quite a time-consuming process. There's some process, and it's currently
currently waiting for waiting, and that waiting is 1 or 3 months. As I understand, it was into, I don't know when, in the last beginning of this year, and it's still not been completed. So the department can't move, the minister can't move on that. In terms of the DDG for corporate solicitors, there's a retirement that's taken place last month, and that's acting for that, and that advertised the sort of list of listing has been done. And for the COO, she's very, very new, so there's an acting official in that question. Then another senior member is seconded to the war room. As you're aware, honourable members, we have with the ESCO challenges a war room that's been established in the Deputy President's office, and be really really intense involved in this one of my DDGs that is funded to them. So it's why Mr. Tambela is acting. So that's just some of the reasoning for the acting. The reason why nobody from UK is here, I will say as members, apologies for that. The main reason is that the DDG for Nigeria was here yesterday and was supposed to stay on. Unfortunately, we have a technical verification asking, and this asking had to meet this morning in Pretoria. He is giving that and was then given permission by the minister to attend to that. So he's why was there. When we got that, information wasn't enough time to get another official because the next one in line was already out of the office, so we couldn't attend to other pre-arranged meetings. So apologies for them not being here, but there's no other reason why they're not here. The rest of the specific questions, honourable members, I'm going to ask them. The various officials have made notes in terms of what is relevant to their respective areas. I will also check as they go through if there's something that's been said. I will so I'm going to ask randomly, just from the corporate services side, to deal with all the corporate services and HR matters, honourable chair. That's crazy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I may deal with the questions that were raised by honourable members. The first one that I've recorded pertains to what are we doing to work with basic education as well as the Department of Higher Education as far as attracting skills at an age stage. Chairperson, we have in the department what we call a Leaders Focus Week, where we try to bring together approximately about 250 learners at grade 9, 10 and 11, mainly to encourage them to take math and science subjects so that they become engineers and work in the electricity industry as well as petroleum industry. We do this in cooperation with our stakeholder entities, your ESCO, your SAPIA group, and we do have learners that are now starting towards those fields. And I must indicate, Chairperson, that we normally get these learners from previously disadvantaged communities, and it's done every year. In terms of working with higher education, Chair, we work through our sectors. The number of training that we have identified to do deal with issues of skills shortages. For example, there is a training program that has been developed by CHIEDA, one of our sectors, to deal mainly with the jail case, which is something that is new in the country, so that by the time regulations are enacted, we are able to handle that aspect. We are also preparing for the new wage program, and as part of the skills shortages, as of 22nd April this month, we are sending 50 South Africans to China, mainly to be trained on yoga specifically. And they are coming from different entities, one from others from universities, ESCOM, NNR, and other entities. If I may move on to this, there was a question raised to say a project that we cannot do that is inspection by petroleum branch due to unroadworthy cars. We have attended to this challenge, Chairperson. As of next month, we will be obtaining four cars, that is your 4x4 vehicles, because these are mainly in regional offices where some of the rules that we use are not conducive for certain cars. So we have addressed the problem. Now, if I may move on to the question raised by Honorable Manana on the question of Zimbizos. Today, we have set a target of 20 Zimbizos, but we've only achieved 5. My apology if it was not explained properly. Basically, this 5 refers to the quarter. So it means in this quarter, we have achieved the set target of 5 Zimbizos. At the end of the financial year, we will be able to meet our annual target, which is 20 Zimbizos. The other question raised by another honorable member with regards to the total vacancies. We are currently sitting at 114 vacancies, and it's a figure that we are not proud of. We are making means to ensure that we speed up our recruitment process. The other question that was raised was we seem to be losing a number of ladies in the department. It is true, I think it's a point that the eating DG has touched on. But I just want to add that we are one of about 30 national departments, and we are competing for the same skills. So the colleagues that are resigning, mainly they do not leave the system. We compete for the same skills. Others, they also go to our own SOEs. That's how it is. Chairperson, I think I've addressed some of the questions. If there are none, I'll hear from members. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The questions that I'll respond to pertains mostly to energy efficiency and solar water heaters. The first question that I requested had to do with the withholding of funds, and the question was along the line that which conditions those units that the funds were withheld from did not comply with. Maybe just as a brief background, in terms of the energy efficiency demand side payment program, 26 municipalities were identified at the beginning of the 2014-15 financial year. And out of the 26 that were identified, a number of, I think about 5 municipalities did not get the allocation due to non-expenditure in the previous financial year. You know, so we couldn't have given them money when they're still sitting with money that was given in the previous year. And those municipalities actually were Etabini, Cape Town, Ngongore, and Greater Zanin, and Swani. Swani's case was slightly different because they had failed to submit baseline information, which is a requirement for them to get the transfer. The money that was supposed to go to these municipalities, which was about 3.5 million, was actually allocated from the municipalities out of October to other municipalities. And on top of that, what we did in addition to that, we added to the list 3 other municipalities, which is Mafube in the Free State, Rafontein, and Gauteng, and King Kabasa Daliabo in the Eastern Cape to the program. That's with regard to that particular one. So the condition that was not met was mostly non-expenditure, and the fact that they failed to submit some of the requirements that the department requires them to submit before the money can be transferred. The second issue had to do with access to public
terms of delays were as a result of process, the way we were managing the process. All national buildings access is actually granted by the National Department of Public Works through their regional offices. And the experience of the colleagues that work on this program is that sometimes when they go to some of the regions, like let's say police station, you know, they would have thought that the process had begun. When they get there, then they get told that, no, actually, we have not received any information from the region. Whereas the impression was that that was the case. But that problem has since been resolved. There is now a dedicated project manager that has been appointed at the National Department who is working almost a full-time basis with the department. He is part of the team now to make sure that we do not experience this problem again. With regard to the national solar water heater program, without obviously preempting the decision of cabinet, as we indicated, the department has proposed a new model, which was shared with other national departments last year at the ACA cluster to get their input into that. Basically, what the department is proposing is for the department to be at the center of implementation instead of ESCO. And this is basically in line with one of the recommendations under the multi-year pricing determination from the regulator previously when they granted ESCO Memorandum 3. One of the things that they indicated was that they believe that ESCOM should not necessarily play in a space of energy efficiency, because they are actually in the business of generating electricity. Somebody else must do this thing, because there's not necessarily an incentive for them to track it. And in addition to that, one of the other issues that was at the center of this had to do with the speed at which the program was being implemented. I mean, some of the, in terms of the numbers that we have, on the ready program, when we look back, over, I think the program started around 2011 or so, we estimate the numbers that have come to indicate that we install about 1,000 solar heater units a month or so, of which at that rate, if we want to make an impact in reducing the electricity demand, it's going to take us a very long time. So hence the department decided that we need to revise the model. And the reason for me to revise the model as well is that what we're trying to achieve is that you look at the rebate model, the consumer is expected to put in money. So the take-up in terms of that kind of setup is very low. So the new model that we're proposing is such that we can accelerate the program. We're talking to a number of players who could actually put in money, you know, while the government is putting money into the program as well to make sure that they match the amount and the take-up can increase in terms of the process. What we've also done is that we've had consultation with National Treasury, and they, in principle, have indicated that they agree with what we're proposing. What we also believe is that this setup will give us an opportunity to consolidate, especially from a procurement around local content, which is a stipulated requirement from the ETI. What this opportunity, what this change also allows us to do is to start working very close with local government. In terms of, as an example, in terms of the proposed model, one of the key things becomes training and maintenance, which we know that a lot of most of the installations have been falling apart because either poor installation because of lack of training or lack of maintenance. So the program tries to address those issues as well. In a nutshell, that's the sort of the approach in terms of the new model. I think yes, I've responded to yes. In terms of this, and there was a question around how we intend to increase the numbers. I think from the numbers are a function of obviously the budget that's available. We believe the new model will allow us to do that because we're now collaborating with more. Proposing to collaborate with more stakeholders in terms of the rollout, and we believe that the model where we've got other people also putting money to reduce the burden on consumers will actually increase the take up. And I think I'll leave it at that. Maybe if there's other questions, we can engage again.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. Let me start with a question regarding the development at Umlala as a municipality. The information that I have currently is that Umlala has been an allocation that has made last financial year 2014-15, which was around 7 million, and there's a projection of giving them 10 million in the following year, and then another 10 million thereafter. But obviously, what could be the case with Umlala, which is something that I have to thoroughly check. First of all, the issues that you've been alluding to, I just need to do a detailed check in terms of what has happened in the past year that you've alluded to, as well as probably to double check that there could be a situation where you could find that one of the areas, as Dr. Bana was alluding to, is that probably belongs to Umlala and the other portion probably is a home. So we just have to double check what exactly is happening there. Because sometimes what happens is that whenever an electric scaling problem is supposed to happen, where the issue of capacity constraints happens, there is a process of change control, where probably if I've done detailed studies to reveal that that process that is supposed to happen that cannot happen, then ECOM needs to liaise the municipality and initiate the change process control, where then those ones that have been allocated for a particular area needs to be moved to a particular area, but normally within the same jurisdiction. So that's why then probably we'll have to just go and do a data check and then probably liaise with you and give a detailed background in terms of what has been the progress of Umlala since probably 2013 up to now, so that we can give you an exact analysis of the situation in terms of, and also the plans going forward with regards to Umlala. There was also another question that was raised pertaining to the importation of major electrical equipment. There are mainly two issues that lead to that. Firstly is that when municipalities issue tenders, it's normally an open inquiry, right? And by and large, those major equipment, they basically cost a lot of money. And by and large, normally the overseas manufacturers, especially from the Eastern Bloc, they normally win those contracts on the basis of cost, obviously some other elements. So as a result, that's why now we depend on the importation of those goods from abroad or foreign manufacturers. But the second issue is that over the years, the manufacturing capacity within the country of those particular electrical items has declined. Right? So that is sort of part of my responsibility this year, basically do an analysis in terms of what is probably jointly with the DG to see what is it that we need to do to boost the local manufacturing with regards to those items, given that we still have a large backlog and obviously a refurbishment within the electricity industry needs to be done. Obviously, that's not going to be an overnight process, you know, because we do these things, some of them as regards to legislation which states what local present content should be, etc., and obviously it's an open market. So you cannot unilaterally just decide to block foreign manufacturers from participating, especially when the tender values are large, because we want also to get value for money. But it's something that we need to work on in collaboration with the specialty duty to see how best do we address the situation, as I said, because the problem still has a number of areas to come, so we'll need to make sure that our own local manufacturing capacity is boosted so that we can contribute to job creation, employment benefits, and all those other things. And then the other issue, I think the acting DG did touch on the issue of scale at municipal level. And what that normally does, it's also twofold. First of all, there is a revolving door at local municipalities where people get people understand the process, and then within 6 months or so, the person gets another environment where they start to do something differently. So we constantly are in touch with municipalities who try and sort of give them guidance in terms of what it is that they need to do. Like the current year now, they need to be doing planning for the next financial year so that when we open the door for them to give us proposals, all the things are in place so that basically we look at those things and then obviously the ones that we think have the likely chances of success and considering the need and those kind of things, then we do give them or transfer and manage them so that we eliminate the chances of failure in our program. think basically that is by and large what I had to deal with because Dr. Banan. Okay. The electrification figures, basically, okay, maybe it was an error. The target for this, or the past financial year, which ended 31st of March, is 265,000. 260 was the target for last year. So currently, we're basically doing a verification in terms of where are we with regards to that target. But obviously, the issue is also that I think the CFO did allude to with regards to the misalignment of financial years between ourselves and the municipalities, because our year has ended while the municipalities' year ends in June. But we are in the process of basically turning up and verifying where are we in terms of the target.
Mm-hmm.
And other things probably if there are some things that have missed, but I think I've covered to for my branch, my end.
Thank you. I'm going to deal with some of the issues that were raised on the petroleum side. There was a question with regard to slide 32 on the reasons that are given there with regard to the targets on the sampling. The contract, the vision was, didn't we know that the contract is going to end at this particular time, so why did we have a target? The contract, as much as we knew, it was for 2014-15, but it was based on a number of samples that have to be tested, not necessarily on the time frame. So what tends to happen third quarter, most of the officials in the department go on study leave and all that. So we then decided that we better make sure we take a lot of samples within the second quarter and do better so that when people go on leave, we don't then experience problem where we have underperformance. So the target was basically met. That's the reason. And the contractor, unfortunately, or the service provider, would only continue to test if there's a valid contract, or once they've reached the number of tests that they're supposed to conduct, then they no longer do the test for us. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason for that one. The other question is with regard to slide 46. With regard to whether as well we do a calibration certificate when we do the inspections. No, we don't. However, what we require from all the retail operators is a declaration that we comply to all the laws that govern operations of those service stations. That is part of the conditions of their licenses. So when we go to do inspections, we make sure that they comply to the conditions of licenses and they have also made such declarations. Calibrations then are governed through the SANS accreditation laboratories and companies that once a year go to different service stations to do and conduct calibration and issue them with the certificate. Why we require an affidavit is if there's a complaint that this particular service station maybe their calibration is not up to scratch, then we lodge an investigation. And if somebody has declared that has been done and we find that it was not done, then we can withdraw their license that they used to operate. The other question was with regard to the number of inspections, why the target for the third quarter 1,500, whereas for the year is about, 2,000. The target for the third quarter is a cumulative target, so it's not only for the third quarter, it's for first, second, and third quarter. So the annual target is 2,000. And by the third quarter, we needed to have at least done 1,500, and that's cumulative, that includes for the second and third quarter. At the end of this third quarter, we had done 1,463. That's why it was partially achieved. However, for the annual target, we managed to achieve, we actually even exceeded the 2,000 compliance inspection that were supposed to be conducted. So that's the reason for that. The other one was, what then do we do after issuing enforcement notices? Most of the time, or always, when we issue these enforcement notices, people comply to that. So, however, if somebody would not comply if we issue an enforcement notice, we can then withdraw their license that they use to operate their businesses. However, we have never really done that because once we identify a non-compliance and we issue a notice, people tend to comply. In some cases, we don't even wait to go back to the office and issue a formal notice. So if we get to a service station, for example, and they are overcharging on fuel or they are discounting fuel, we track them there and there to fix the problem, and then we'll then write them in a notice later. So in most of the cases, or always so far, people always comply. So, but if they don't, we can withdraw their licenses. And the last one that I noted is with regard to what SAB do in terms of food stamping. We have an MOU with SAB. However, the reason for them doing this is different from the reason we do it. SARS do this mostly to make sure that what somebody has declared when they import the product is exactly that, so that they can pay the relevant VAT or taxes. So, for example, if it's paraffin, zero beta, so if somebody is bringing diesel, let's say maybe from Mozambique, and declare that it's paraffin, it means they want to avoid paying tax. So that's basically test to make sure that it's either paraffin or diesel. However, the test that we do, the law requires our minister to set standards and specifications. So we go and do that. If you get to a three station and they put 95, it's exactly 95, not 93. If it's 50 ppm of diesel, it's exactly 50 ppm, not 500. So we go and test the sulfur content, the benzene levels, and all that. So the tests that we conduct are a little bit different. However, we do have an MOU with SARS, particularly in areas like Mpumalanga, where we have a lot of dumping of product. So we assist one another sometimes when they encounter that, and then we can take the samples and go ahead and do the test. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. I'm going to respond to the questions pertaining to pertaining to the finance environment that was asked, and the CIPO will deal with the other set of questions relating to the finance environment. But in terms of the questions asked on cost containment measures, what I will do is I'll group the questions because there were several questions that may have overlapped in some way or the other, and it may have a similar explanation. The questions that were asked were the cost containment measures, regarding those that are practical and implementable, and how much was saved on these measures. Now, when the instruction note was issued by the National Treasury in 2013 for implementation from January 2014, that instruction note had two annexes. It had an annexure that indicated these are the cost containment measures that you must implement. So it was not discretionary, it was mandatory. The other set was those that were discretional because it was for consideration. Therefore, the question about the 22 plus the 11 comes into play there. So the 22 that were for implementation, yes, those were implemented. With regards to those that were for consideration, there was a question then asked as to why did we not consider, some always say they were practical. And the ones that are not practical, we have had discussions on them. They're not
implemented yet, but it's still under consideration. But some results are practical. For example, overnight accommodation must be limited to instances where the distance by road exceeds 500 kilometers. It means that if someone goes to Bloemfontein for 2 days meeting, they will have to stay because it's 100 kilometers in Bloemfontein, come back and go the next day. It is not a practical one to implement. You'd rather have the person stay over for the meeting over 2 days before the extension. So it's an impractical one. The other one that was not considered was, for example, corporate branded items of venture employees must be recovered at least at full cost. We don't encourage the issuing of corporate brand items to staff. So that didn't feature in the plan of fiscal considerations. And for example, another one that was not implemented was where restricted airline tickets to be used as opposed to, they call it more expensive flexible tickets. And we looked at our history and found that due to challenges in our environment, for example, if this meeting was supposed to end at 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and it ended at 1 o'clock, and people had to change their tickets, it would cost the department more for those instances than for having a flexible ticket. So a cost analysis was done, and we said it's more practical to have the flexible tickets as opposed to the non-flexible tickets. It may seem a little bit more costly, but in the long run, there is a benefit to us, and it's less costly. However, when we look at consultants, and I think this is very loosely defined overall because of the Standard Chart of Accounts issued by National Treasury, we basically group all these costs into what we call consultants' costs. But essentially, a lot of it are actually professional or technical costs. In other words, linking to the question of, you know, why do we get consultants in and not have skills within the department to perform these functions, and link those two. Let me give you some examples. Reviewing the application of magisterial district zone systems to determine transport tariffs. Looking at operating expenses of a selected number of service retail stations. It's just two that I could give you, but their numbers, something that is in the petroleum process which we just discussed now, you'd find that those particular projects require specific technical skills. Okay. In addition to that, those projects are just projects that would last for a matter of 5 weeks to 5 months. It is not a project that may necessarily happen year on year. It may happen once in 3 years, with a number of other determinations. So one would not have a unit dedicated with full-time employees to do 5 weeks of work once every 3 years. Therefore, those technical skills are brought in on board to do that for that particular period. When the report is given, those skills are not needed. So linking to that, however, there are some projects where technical skills can and should be transferred, where we can continue with some of the processes. But I think that clarity is required with regard to the word consultant, which is very generically used sometimes. But with regard to consultants, what should be mentioned is that the department has a consultant reduction plan. And in terms of the consultant reduction plan, consultants are only engaged when the necessary skill or resources to perform the project due to a study are not available. And the department cannot be reasonably expected to train or recruit people in the time available. And there are other factors we take into consideration. When the project comes to the Bid Adjudication Committee, that particular branch has to motivate why a consultant is required for that particular project. They will also have to indicate to us if there is a consultant reduction plan, where those consultants will be reduced year on year. And so the criteria are developed very strongly to ensure that we are not getting consultants in to perform work that we should have otherwise performed. For an example, we will not get in consultants to do your financial statements because we have staff to do that. It's a normal flow of events that we can take care of in terms of our internal skills. Linked to the issue of consultants and skills, I've also spoken about the cost reduction plan. Then was a question on cost containment measures that have answered that. The payment of assets, the question on the assets. There was a question asked as to why we only spend X percent of our budget. Actually, the question was directed to the total and not to a line that speaks about assets. However, that assets budget that we have is 3.7 million, and it's only for assets that are internal assets, in other words, our furniture and equipment. It does not relate to infrastructure assets at all. There has been an underspending on our purchase of office furniture and equipment. Those reasons are very sound. We have gone on the bid processes and the procurement processes to process to purchase assets. However, some of our regional offices, at least three of our regional offices that were supposed to have relocated in the current financial year, those relocations are delayed due to processes beyond our control at the Department of Public Works and the landlords themselves. So some of the relocation will only happen in the first few months of the new financial year. So there was a 25% savings on that to the value of 1.4 million. The success rate of cost containment measures, I think it was meant to ask, you know, have we quantified the savings? Once we've implemented it and we know that it will yield certain results, the issue of quantifying it is a little bit difficult because year on year, in terms of your procurement plan, you don't have a need for the same type of consultants. So it just depends on what your plan is for that year, for example. So you can't compare year one to year two because there is a different set of the criteria. Similarly with traveling, when you look at the cost containment measures implemented in terms of travel, it would depend on the number of trips undertaken, the number of international engagements, and all of that. But we do know that we stick to the limits that has been given to us in terms of the National Treasury guidelines. I think it was a very good question on price negotiations, and I think this question also comes in the light of the corruption in the public sector regarding tender processes and how you negotiate with suppliers. We just need to reinforce that that negotiation is a negotiation that takes place in unique circumstances. In other words, all of the bid processes unfold as they should unfold, but there would be an instance where, in a particular bid, you only have one service provider that qualifies from a criteria point of view. So everyone has been disqualified except this particular service provider. But his price is two times more than what your budget has allowed for. So that's when the negotiation takes place. You know you are going to appoint him, but you also have the ability to negotiate his price down. Look at other deliverables that he put there that were in addition to what you were required, that you may not have required. Look at some trimming exercise. So those are very unique circumstances, and they are within the SEM guidelines. In fact, no one is allowed to do any negotiations without the permission of the BAC. It's a BAC-run process. So that answers that question. What are the delays and what are the cost implications? We have mentioned that there are delays in some projects, and we've also found that some of the delays in the projects can be attributed to service providers themselves. But within the service providers, they have certain skills that leave them as well. However, in all of the projects that we have extended the time, we have made sure up to this point that there has been no financial implications. In other words, the original bid price was still firm, just the time had to be extended for the completion of the work due to those issues that I mentioned and more. In terms of SCM, are we training our staff? Indeed we are. A number of interventions. One of them is we have a performance management development system where annually all staff have to indicate what are their training needs, and we make sure we train them in that particular aspect. Supply chain management also runs an in-house training workshop where, in addition to training the supply chain management staff, supply chain management trains other branches to let them understand what the SCM processes are to alleviate any issues in the process management system. We attend the legal compliance workshops, the SCM bid committee workshops, and all that. So training is ongoing, and all staff within that branch are regularly after the branch meetings if there's any other need that we need to address. But we can confirm that training is definitely happening in this area. With regard to the overlap, I think the question was asked around slide 18, and then to look at why are we paying service providers for transfers and subsidies. Okay. Now, there is only one set of service provider that is paid under the transfers and subsidies category, and that is for the INEC non-grid program. Okay. Under the transfer and subsidies economic classification, There is a line item that is for private private suppliers, so private service providers. So it's paid under that line item in terms of that category, and it is not repeated in the goods and services 12.16 million. It's a separate amount from that, and those are not transferred to public institutions and municipalities. It is for the INF non-grid program. Then there were questions that were raised around irregular expenditure. I have clarified that that 1.6 million irregular expenditure is not for the department. The auditor's report is also considered in the annual report presentation to PCE and the Select Committee. It was raised there. Those are attributed to the irregular expenditure in the energy portfolio. So that irregular expenditure is attributed to CIF, SANEDI, NECA, and the other entities within the portfolio. Of that amount, our amount was actually a very small amount. And also, in terms of SCM issues, there are no serious SCM issues because of the portfolio. In fact, over the past two financial years, and the interim report, we have reported, I think, one, and now there's no SCM findings that have been raised. And we do have firm SCM policies that are in place. I think the last one I want to address was with regard to the black-owned SNM is the question that was raised there. Maybe to indicate that in terms of SNME and BEE, we strongly apply the BEE codes and the BEE Act, which we then have to evaluate on the level contributor status. And within the level contributor status, even there's a generic scorecard which the evaluators do in terms of ownership, management, control, skills development, enterprise, supplier development, etc. What we do is we get the rating and they've got to be compliant within that score. It is something that I think we can discuss further, but for now, I think also there has been no, we're asking guidance from National Treasury because there's been some questionnaire that wanted us to disclose certain elements of the scorecard which is not within our reach because we get the final scores of what the level of contributor status is. I think I've covered a lot of the questions. CFO will deal with the rest.
Thank you, Chair. I think there are very few left behind. One of them was goods and services expended. That was 58%, but it contributes also to the challenges. Indeed, that is correct. However, for the new financial year, there had to be some remedial actions. Part of them are there's better planning around the projects. A project office has been set up. All projects are now registered with that office and probably tracked. And there are also negotiations with service providers upfront. If we foresee any challenges, we do have some recourse in the SLA that we find with the service providers. So we do have some remedial action there. Redirecting of funds and implication thereof on other areas, yes, it does have some implications. But when we redirect funds, all DDGs are present that are responsible for all the programs. So when we redirect funding, it's with very good reason and good motivations behind it, because we're also subject to the limitations set down by National Treasury for Environment, that's movement of money from one program to another. And if it is effected, this is factored into planning and targets that have been set per quarter. So it is taken into account. Another question has been raised with, although we have understanding, but a substantial amount is in the compensation of employees. That is the case. These are warm bodies on the ground, and some of the functions that are performed in the department are support functions. Example, security guards. They have to pay, and they are featured into this figure. They're all support functions in terms of the ministry, the DG's office, internal audits are all factored in. So it's not necessarily that it's a big chunk of spend, but it's without target. We have to have the governance structures in place as well for support functions. The membership fees, unfortunately, are cut off in terms of the benefits, but the payment has subsequently happened in January, but we will come back to you with the benefits of the membership fee paid. And the mayor also mentioned that I had mentioned it a few times in my presentation that they were delayed in the projects. Yes, it is true, but finance and the support functions play an enabling function. We provide an enabling environment, if I can put it that way. We provide the finance, the BAC with the tender committees, the HR, the personnel to load it, the project management office. So So plans are put in place to avoid these delays going forward. They were overlapped. Okay, check the last one that I need to respond to. Can I give assurance to this committee that the budget that we request for the new financial year, that's 2015-16, plus the rollover, will be spent? Indeed, I can provide that, provide some assurance. I think we've been a new department, but year on year, there has been learnings. And we've taken those learnings seriously. We've had plans of action, and we've implemented those. I think going forward, we have lots of delays in our projects. We accept that. The comment that was made as well. But we have a project management office where all projects are now registered, and that stringent reporting on progress on each project has been put in place. So monies to redirected to other priority areas will also be expedited more speedily in future. Vacancies, my colleague has mentioned, will be expedited, and there is a plan of action there. But we also have some external dependencies, but where possible, we have made that training available, especially to the municipalities. For those non-compliant municipalities, in terms of DORA, some of the spending that doesn't happen, their consciousness don't get signed timelessly, we have provided some assistance to those municipalities. So I think going forward, that can only strengthen. And we also do have, we have to abide by the Preferential Procurement Act, and we do encourage BEE suppliers. But quite often, Chair, we don't get these suppliers the paperwork to be compliant enough. And in terms of precedence, we allow some leeway to request outstanding documentation, which does contribute to some of our delays. Better planning has been implemented. As I said, in terms of the support functions, we will provide all support in terms of the tender committees, the finance that's regularly requested, over and above what's needed. HR will provide the personnel, and we'll provide more support in terms of training where needed. Overall, Chair, I think we've had, and I think it has been mentioned as well, perhaps the repercussion for non-delivery, as not mentioned throughout the presentation, but that has been endorsed by the Director General's office, and it will be implemented. And I think there's a more stringent process around that in terms of our delivery, and the performance will be measured very closely and reported upon, and actions taken when necessary. With that, I thank you.
Thank you very much. There are still some that I picked up that wasn't answered on. Okay. Can I just ask you this one, training? My apologies, I missed that one. Then this retention policy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The question was asked to whether do we have a retention policy. Yes, we do have fixing and retention policy. It really helps us to retain scarce skills as well as those skills that are required by the department. And it is a process that helps and guides us in terms of how do we ensure that we retain those skills, including the question of counter-offers. The follow-up question was on what are the main reasons for such resignations. We conduct exit interviews, and most of the responses that we get are mainly for career growth. Thank you.
Also, can you deal with the IEC contractor and also the connection figures?
Okay, there was an issue with regards to the terms that are made, IEC, in terms of what is happening with the contractor that pulled out. Basically, the contractor pulled out. So, as a result, the sponsor, which is Petro SA in this case, is going through their supply chain management rules to see how then they can bring the second contractor on board to continue with the project. But obviously, we are aware that, as we stated, that the deadline, 31st of March, is not going to be met because the contractor which decided to fail out of program was supposed to begin construction of the forecourt in February. Right? So obviously, we know that deadline is out of the window. And now the sponsor is in the process of getting the second contractor to be on board to complete the project so that we can kindly achieve the IEC so that the people can benefit. With regards to the electrification connections that I think was raised, was that those numbers basically are numbers that are pertaining to that particular quarter in question, right? So basically, I think there was also a question in space that you wanted to find out what is then the annual target, right? So basically, with regard to probably the issue that has been covered, the issue of non-grade, the target was 15,000 for the last financial year, which then the third quarter target was, it was indicated there was 8,277 connections that had been made at the time. With regards to electrification targets, I think in Dr. Bainard's response, it did allude to the numbers of the targets that had been achieved for the financial year. And it follows what is.
Clearly, some general ones that have nothing to do with that I pick up. The one is the request from honourable member around the solar technology, energy technology roadmap. I don't have it with me. It is something that's been developed. We have issued it for the various stakeholders involved to comment on it. That roadmap is basically to look at different technologies. If you want to go CSP or focus solar or PV or focus PV, it's a different technology you can apply where in the country. That's basically where this roadmap is. So it's a technical document that spells out if you want to invest and you want to put into the renewable energy program, then it gives you an indication where what technology will be most appropriately can be applied in the country. It's not all to all, it's just certain areas in the country where we know we have high radiation. But at least it's a very good step in the right direction in one of the few countries in the world that has this sort of program. So that can be made available. I'll just make a note of Jacob, if you guys can just get that and then I'll just send it to the secretary. The issue about the Medjugorje number 6, right now, as you're aware, Eskom is reporting to public enterprises, not to UE. Mr. Brown is right now just around the corner in a news conference on this issue, so we can hear what is the latest coming out of that. Then the issue about the percentage of achieved, partially achieved and not achieved is correct. I've been pointed out by my colleagues, it's actually 11, 11, 11, so it means 33. Thank you very much for pointing that out. And then the last one on the benefits from these international agencies. The specific one that under consideration was for the International Energy Atomic Association. The benefits for countries is various. For instance, right now there's three officials in a country called which country in Europe, but it's one of the countries in Europe where they have a training session on a specific nuclear plant. For that specific training course, we from the partners are paying for the daily allowances. The funds, the accommodation, the training, everything is paid up by the agency itself. So there are various of these training courses that is not nice to put together. It's very tense, free. If you go to some of those courses, it's really, it is postgraduate courses, and it's really the top they can get. So we get from that perspective, tremendous benefit. But then also the fact that a lot of research has been done by the association. It's the most active association in the world, and all of that has been shared with the member countries and lost it. A part of it is then they also have then the oversight over your own plant and way of dealing with nuclear processes, operational ones, everything. And they do then also, on top of our own legislation, do oversight for on an international level. So that also includes that, and the reporting on that and guidance on that itself. So I think, according to what I picked off, we dealt with the questions. If we missed out something, we owe the honourable members two, three reports or three feedbacks. We will make sure that this has been
supplied to the Secretary. But if there's anything more than what Chair members, we're more than willing to deal with it.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was saying if there are any questions that might be outstanding, members would forward those to the Secretary so that we can send them to the Department for response. Unfortunately, we will not take further follow-ups because there is a committee coming in. I have seen them over the past 15, 20 minutes peeping through that little crack, indicating that they want to come in. Honorable Masters. Yes?
So we'll write down those questions that we think were not responded to. But thanks for responses. I wanted to make a clarity on the issue of Nalanda. It's the ESCOM supply area, not the actual municipality. It's where they said there will be no protection this financial year because it ended on the previous financial year. So ESCOM supply area. But the other chair will make a submission.
Thank you, members, for your attendance and your engagement on issues. We also wish to thank the officials from the Department of Energy. We will be forwarding to you any follow-up questions that might be we might be interested in. We look forward to the three already that you have mentioned, and we will engage further on issues relating to energy. Thank you so much for your availing yourself. Have a safe trip back. Thank you. The meeting's then adjourned.
Hallelujah.